Good morning and welcome to the American Journal. We're excited that you're all joining us today. I'm back in studio and it's good to be back. We got the Christmas tree up too. Something I didn't see on the way out of here, but I'm glad it's here, of course. We're getting the holiday vibes on these days. I am actually very, very excited. I lived in Florida for the last 5 years, so it never felt like Christmas because it was never cold. But now here in Texas, it's actually freezing and it feels like Christmas. So it's a little bit of change for me. We're excited that you're all joining us today. A lot going on in the world. As many of you saw yesterday, the FBI claims that it has arrested the J6 pipe bomber. Yeah, long overdue. We're going to go through all the evidence that they've released thus far. Plus what I'm hearing, because I have spoken to sources who are telling me more to come very, very soon. But we've got the actual criminal complaint here, and I'll tell you what it says specifically, but most importantly, I'll tell you what my thoughts are on all of this, because it took a while. It looks like, though, if this is actual suspect, that this is possibly a far lefty who planted these pipe bombs. And if you're a CNN viewer and you didn't see the mugshot, you probably think that he is a white supremacist. Jake Tapper really eating his own words again. It continues to happen to him. Jake Tapper describing this guy as a white man. That's a white guy, in case you guys didn't know. Tapper eating his words, of course, and everyone's roasting him on the web for that. I'll play that clip for you. Plus, we've got a lot more to discuss as well. You know, when I was in D.C., I received a request from Pierce Morgan's producer. They were asking me to come on the show, and I just really don't like Pierce Morgan. Going to be honest with you. So I declined, and I've repeatedly declined. I did once say yes. I'll tell you why I said yes. And then they suddenly ghosted me. Then they tried coming back around a couple months later. But long story short, after telling Pierce Morgan's producer that I'm not really interested in going on Pierce Morgan's show, he blocked me on X. So I've got a lot to say here on this front, because Pierce Morgan is a you-know-what. It's a little early for bad words, but I might actually let it rip this morning. Joining me to discuss that will be Matthew Marsden. As many of you guys know, he's from the UK. He knows who Pierce Morgan is. He knows Pierce Morgan's a scumbag. So we're going to discuss that with him. Plus, I'll also have Joseph McBride, the incredible criminal defense attorney, on the program today to walk us through, obviously, the J6 related stuff, you know, the pipe bomber stories, the latest on the J6 investigations, into the lies that were committed by the J6 committee itself. But also, Tish James is not going to be indicted, it looks like. But we still maybe have an appeal coming our way. So I'll ask him all those questions so we get the very latest on that legal front. Plus, Dan Bongino is attacking the very, very great Miranda Devine. McBride is someone who knows Miranda, and he finds her highly credible as well. So I'll definitely want him to weigh in on that front, because I thought it was absolutely egregious that Bongino decided to call her Deep State Divine, as if this wasn't the woman who was going out there and targeting those who were trying to deceive the American public, hide the Hunter Biden laptop story, because she broke that. But now Dan Bongino saying that she's a deep stater, which is an absolute joke, given the fact that only one person has changed in this scenario, and it isn't Divine. We'll also have Mel Kay on the program as well, because, you know, Mel Kay is writing a book on the CIA, the deep state, and everything that's been going on behind the scenes. And I thought it was really interesting, and I don't want to let it go. The fact that the Afghan refugee that was brought into this country worked for the CIA. I'm going to ask her if there's more to this. Obviously, she knows more than anyone. She studied this. She's followed this story. And I look forward to having her on to discuss just that. I also asked DHS if they had a list of these Afghan refugees who were brought in by the Biden regime of the crimes that were committed when they made their way to U.S. soil. They actually gave me a full list. I'll detail that for you, because there's a lot of predators who were shuffled into our country thanks to the Biden regime. I'll also be asking her again about the FBI, because Mel Kay obviously knows a lot about this new FBI, as the deputy director likes to phrase it. So I've got a lot of questions for Mel on this show. So lots to get into, lots to dive into. Don't go anywhere. More on the American Journal starting in just about a minute. In the meantime, though, make sure you go over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. We have our 12 days of Christmas sale going on right now. Incredible sales that won't last forever. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now and get your Christmas shopping on a little bit early, but don't be late. Over at thealexjonesstore.com. More on the way.
Alex Jones, patriot, a man they tried to silence, They came for his voice, his platform, his life. But they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster. Louder.
Go to alexjonesapp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Yes!
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Good morning. Welcome to The American Journal. We're excited that you're all joining us today. I'm back in the studio, of course, with this beautiful Friday morning show. A lot happening over here. We're excited you're joining us. Oh, man, it's been a busy, busy day. I'm trying to keep up. You know, I actually arrived to the studio about an hour earlier thinking that I was still somehow somewhere on East Coast time. It was a little embarrassing, but thankfully no one judged me here for that one. We got a lot to kick off on today's show. I'll be joined by some incredible guests, Joseph McBride joining the show to give us the very latest on the criminal indictment, or the criminal complaint, I should say, that has just come about on that J6 pipe bomber suspect, Brian Cole Jr. Well, we've got the criminal complaint here. I've read through. I'm going to give you my thoughts on just that. Plus, because, you know, I'm not a great legal analyst, so you'll have Joseph McBride giving you the legal background on all of this as well. We'll also be talking to Mel Kay in regards to that Afghan migrant who has ties to the CIA. Is there anything really to see here? Well, Mel Kay's been working on a book about the CIA and all of the corruption and everything you should know about it. So this is the type of person you want to talk about that with. And so we look forward to having her on the show today. Plus, Pierce Morgan is a treasonous pig. As many of you guys know, I'm not really a fan of his. I try my very best to not go out and attack people. But guess what? I rejected Pierce Morgan when he wanted me to come on his show. I once said yes. But then they decided not to give me a time because they knew I was going to talk about Tommy Robinson. And Pierce Morgan can't stand Tommy Robinson. Let's talk junk about Tommy Robinson when Tommy's in prison. But if Tommy were to offer a rebuttal on his airway, he was not interested. Not interested. Well, Pierce Morgan blocked me on X because I've rejected his request for me to come on his show. And they demanded an answer. So I'll give you that answer as to why I just don't want to go on Pierce Morgan's show, why I don't care for the man, and why I think he is an absolute pig. So we got a lot to discuss today, and Matthew Marsden will also join on there. He's got a British accent, so I feel like he comes from a place of authority to talk about Pierce Morgan, of course. But let's kick off the show. You know, I've got my eyes on the White House right now. The president's got a full schedule today. I'll give you some brief overview. He's going to have his intelligence briefing around 10 a.m. today, and then he's going to be signing an executive order around 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern time today as well. So there's a lot to look at over at the White House today. There's also a couple of other events going on, but those are the two core ones that I think are worth your attention. But I want to go straight to the J6 pipe bomber story, because as many of you guys know, the FBI yesterday announced that they made the arrest of an individual who they deemed as the suspect in the J6 pipe bomber story. Now, this has been a story going on for, 5 years now? So we finally have an arrest. His name is Brian J. Cole Jr. This is according to our own federal government, so bear with me here. They have now officially indicted him on explosive device charges. I don't see a terrorism charge here yet. But of course, this is the individual who's accused of leaving two pipe bombs outside of the RNC and DNC, which I was told originally, I think, were non-active. But now everyone's claiming that they were active. Ultimately here, though, folks, it looks like when you go through the details of him, and they're IDing him, that he is 5'6", which was obviously one of the details that they listed when they were looking for the suspect. Apparently, Cole, who is a 30-year-old man, still lives in his home with his mother and other family members. It's actually a very nice home. According to the Daily Mail, I believe it was, it's worth about $700,000. Then according to Julie Kelly saying that Cole possibly had ties to Antifa, many believing he's a radical lefty. But then the criminal complaint itself details how they made this linkage. And there's this detail missing, what I'm told. Something that they did not put yet in this criminal complaint, which we're apparently going to learn about later. So bear with me, because when I read through this, I didn't think it was enough. Seems quite strange, but when you read through the details, they're pinning his cell phone at certain towers, certain times, which place him in the area of where these pipe bombs were laid down. Then they also say that he had purchases. These purchases were elements that were used to make the components of these pipe bombs. They track these purchases down. So that's how they were able to come to that point. I'm giving the brief summary of it, but this criminal complaint itself is very, very short, very easy to read too, if you like to read it yourself. And then they just go through his purchases. And then where his car was located, because they were able to pin down some locations. So this is where they were able to look at him. So again, folks, this is what's filing right now. This is the criminal complaint. So it gives you the vague details as to why they believe that this is their guy. So again, it's his car being located in certain areas. It's purchases that were made on credit cards, the receipts they have. And it's the FBI pinning his cell phone to the area at the time. Now, for me, this isn't enough. Because if I'm the federal government and I really want to resolve something or just plant it on someone, this is the type of stuff that is plantable. So I'd have to see an actual video element of this. If you have his car tag, let's see the camera footage from that day. Because you'd likely have his face, unless he's wearing a face mask, of course, like he was where he's laying it down, of course, yeah, maybe, okay. But here's the thing, right? I know a lot of people are really upset about this. Specifically those on the left, because they deem that this pipe bomber had to be someone who was a white supremacist. We heard that narrative, it was shoved down our throats for far too long. You had to accept the fact that the person who laid down these J6 pipe bombs was a white supremacist. Well, of course, the new face to white supremacy these days isn't actually white people. Jake Tapper keeps learning this lesson the hard way. Take a listen to clip one, because Jake Tapper describes the pipe bomber as a white guy. Take a listen.
Capital attack. Brian Cole Jr., a 30-year-old white man from the D.C. suburbs, is charged with transporting an explosive device in interstate commerce and with malicious destruction by means of explosion. CNN observed local and federal law enforcement outside his home in Woodbridge, Virginia this morning.
Another white man. You guys remember CNN really just has racial problems. They don't know how to ID suspects. They continuously call white people, well, black people, white people. If you remember that individual who went inside the NFL headquarters and decided to shoot up the place, was also a white man who physically was a black man, but they didn't care for that narrative. And this is the standard, thanks to my great friend Bert on X, when it comes to IDing the suspects involved in these types of crimes. White, 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 white. Doesn't matter what their skin complexion is. They're all just white. It's absolutely foolish, but the people who work at CNN know just that, and they do their very best to continue to push this false narrative because, folks, they see white people everywhere. That's just the reality of it, even when they're not there. It'd be funny if it wasn't so sad. And we've been fed so many lies about the J6 pipe bomber. And I'm going to keep going into certain aspects of the J6 lies that we have been told. Kamala Harris told us specifically that she was in the Capitol on January 6th. And she gave us like a very detailed explanation as to her perspective on all of this. But it was interesting because it wasn't exactly the truth. Take a listen to clip two, and Kamala Harris continued to lie about what happened that day.
I was at the Capitol that morning, and then I was in a meeting, and I was told that I should leave. And then I was taken to a secure location with my husband. We watched in horror. I was sitting in the DNC offices when Secret Service rushed in and said, "You have to leave right now." Because there was an active pipe bomb within feet of where I sat. And then they took me to a secret undisclosed location, which was my apartment. I don't live there anymore, I can tell you now.
To pound the strangeness of it all, recall that Kamala Harris covered up her presence at the DNC building on January 6th for almost a year. For nearly a year, Kamala led the media to believe that she was in the Capitol during the so-called siege. Even the Department of Justice took this false understanding for granted and mentioned Kamala's alleged presence and evacuation from the Capitol during the siege to add a sense of gravitas to several of its indictments. It turns out Kamala was not at the Capitol as it was being evacuated on the 6th, but rather at the DNC building, while the allegedly live pipe bomb was still ran outside. Why on earth would Kamala Harris keep her presence in the DNC building a secret? It would seem like the story of the first woman of color vice president-elect in history coming within feet of the deadly pipe bombs of the January 6th insurrection would be a headline that both Kamala and the regime media would be interested in milking for all it's worth.
You know why? They probably didn't want that getting out there, because they knew who the suspect was. They knew who their suspect was. Then you'd have to explain black-on-black crime, which is something that they don't ever want to actually do. Folks, this is what they did. They tried their very best to go after J6ers and to add to this false narrative, and they did so by using Kamala Harris. And obviously it was welcome. This wasn't something that she was a victim of. Let's not play that game. But why did it take so long to solve this case in the first place? Is it because it didn't fit the narrative? That's probably one way to look at it. FBI Director Kash Patel was asked just that, and, well, this is how he responded in clip 3. Take a listen.
They deliberately did not want to solve this. I mean, this was challenging, but it was solvable, right?
In my opinion, the prior administration either was completely incompetent or intentional in their weaponization of justice and law enforcement. And we know they have a track record of the latter with Arctic Frost and Russiagate and so many else. So I put this in that folder. What we did was we rejected and are in the process of destroying and leveling the weaponization of justice and law enforcement and delivering results for the American people.
Okay, if this is the suspect and everything adds up, then it's very likely that they suppressed the information from coming out because it was one of their own. Let's just say that this is an individual who acted independently, which is a true head scratcher. Then yes, of course they did. This isn't new evidence. This is an evidence that just recently came about. They've obviously had this information, the toll records, the obvious credit card record. I mean, these are things that they have had. And whether they chose to actually go about looking at all of this obviously was their prerogative, and they just chose, no thanks. Is an add to our narrative, our theatrics. But if you ask, Andy McCabe this, which CNN exactly did in clip 4, you hear a different narrative. Take a listen.
And Director McCabe, I mean, can you help us understand a little bit more of how this might be possible? Because it had felt like a pretty stunning cold case for quite some time. Is there any truth, do you think, to what the Attorney General and those were saying, that it was ignored? Or how do you understand the facts at hand?
Yeah, it's really hard for me to believe, Casey, that it was ignored over the last many years. I think Evans characterized it well. You bring in a new team to look at the evidence you have in a different way, to maybe see things that your investigators who've been beating their heads on this stuff for years haven't seen. But ultimately, what you have here is an incredibly detailed data collection. And I'm sure a lot of that data was collected before this new, refresh took place. But what they've done is they've taken every single piece of the bomb, from the end cap to the pipe to the battery connectors to the wires, use every little piece. They've identified where those things are sold, and they looked at the populations of people that bought each one. And as you layer that information on top of each other, you cross-correlate all that data, a smaller and smaller population of people begins to emerge. And some of the people in that population will be electricians or plumbers or people who would buy those things normally in the course
of
their work.
I'm just stepping on this because he's full of garbage. He's full of hot trash, and I'm not going to let him continue to spew that. It's really hard to believe that the FBI would do such a thing, says the guy who was behind a lot of the corruption. Oh, it's absolutely absurd, but it's the reality that we're dealing with. These people are liars. They are liars. And they were continuously asked questions, the tough questions, and they decided to just opt out of being truthful with the American people. Why? Well, it didn't fit the narrative. Reminder, I time and time again would reach out to the DOJ, DHS, and they'd go out there and tell you all that white supremacy was the greatest threat to our national security. and asked for the statistics and never got the statistics. They give me a couple of case scenarios, but never actually had the numbers to back up those claims. This is the reason why on so many different cases, they decide not to go out there and actually make arrests, because if this is the suspect, it doesn't fit the narrative. And it never actually fits their narrative. It never does. It's not surprising, though. It truly is not surprising. But folks, I'm kind of left scratching my head wondering what the heck happened here. Because all of a sudden now they're all coming clean on this. We've made an arrest. And why now? My question. Well, obviously the Blaze released a story. And in that story, they name who they think was the suspect. Somebody was a Capitol Police officer, then went to go work for the CIA. Now, this is something that Dan Bongino, prior to getting into the FBI, probably would have agreed with, which kind of sounds right. We'll play a clip from him, too, who really did think this was an inside job as well. But now he's changed his tune a little bit. But I want to play clip 7 for you, because the FBI director, Kash Patel, went off on the Blaze's reporting. Went off. He deemed it as inaccurate. But all of a sudden, keep in mind, folks, I know for a fact, because I spoke with someone the day that Steve's report was released, and that individual told me that they were briefed by the FBI on the latest on the J6 pipe bomber story, and they actually had another suspect in mind, not the person that Steve named. That's what they told me. So that was weeks ago. So why now are they making this arrest? They obviously had this person's name prior to Steve Baker releasing his report. Well, it's a real head scratcher, but they don't like Kyle Serafin, who is obviously involved in that report as well. They didn't like Steve Baker. We all know the FBI doesn't like Steve Baker because they had him arrested. So listen to Kash Patel go after the Blaze's report in clip 7.
What else do we know about the suspect, Kash? I mean, and there were some other, false reports a few weeks ago identifying someone else. Did those reports have any impact on the timing of this arrest?
Zero. We don't base our reporting, our investigations, and our arrest based on timelines of baseless reporting. We present the evidence with our partners at the Department of Justice for prosecution when we meet the evidentiary threshold that was necessary. And that's what we did here. And I got to remind the audience here, remember, this individual was 25, Don, at the time that he placed the pipe bombs. That's a young person. And we have to go out there and map not just his network, but we also have to go out there on days like today when we hit the house and we hit his place of work. We have to go out there and carefully make sure that those houses and buildings are safeguarded so that our workers and our bomb techs and our evidence response team can go in there and collect the necessary evidence for the prosecution that the U.S. Attorney's Office needs. So we're developing more and more. The suspect's in custody. We've spoken to him. Of course, I can't get into the information that's being provided as a result of the search warrant of those conversations. We'll make those present in the judicial process, but we're confident in our ability of executing for the American people.
I'd be really curious to see the timeline of this investigation, because suddenly now they've made this arrest. When do they name this individual as their lead suspect? And why did it take them weeks and weeks to make the arrest? I think it's a fair question, given the fact that the people that they don't like, Kash Patel, he's has his girlfriend suing Kyle Serafin when he probably saw Kyle Serafin's name wrapped up into that report. It might have put a fire under the behind to make an arrest. It's not just Kash Patel going out there and trying to push back on the Blaze report. Jake Tapper, somebody who is historically known for reporting on false news, in clip 8 decided to go after the Blaze as well. And he had a very interesting character on his show who also jumped on board. Take a listen.
The suspect in this pipe bomb case is a male, not a female, as Glenn Beck's far-right outlet The Blaze published in a report last month. The Blaze claimed that, quote, a forensic analysis of a female former U.S. Capitol Police officer's gait is a 94% to 98% match to the unique stride of the long-sought January 6th pipe bomb suspect, confirmed by several intelligence sources, unquote. The Blaze appears, at least based on today's actions, to have gotten that really wrong. An attorney for that woman vehemently denied the report. The Justice Department attorney denied a claim that he had determined she was the bomber. And now, weeks later, the FBI says the suspect is Brian Cole Jr., not the woman that the Blaze mentioned. I want to bring in Will Sommer of the Bulwark, who just wrote a piece titled "The Blaze's Pipe Bomb Bombshell Appears to Bomb." Well, he wrote that a few weeks ago. And Will, I guess the first question I have is, how shaky was this report to begin with? And I want to note, the only reason I'm bringing this up is because lots of Republican lawmakers and members of the Trump administration pushed this Blaze report out. So it took on a patina of respectability and authenticity because all these officials who you'd think would know better had pushed it out. So how shaky was the report to begin with?
I mean, I think to me it looked pretty suspicious, and a lot of people outside of this kind of right-wing media bubble. It was based, as you noted, nearly entirely on gait analysis, so how the suspect walked or the person in the surveillance footage. As you said, people like Anna Paulina Luna in Congress, other members of Congress embraced it. Tulsi Gabbard, the head of intelligence, her office circulated a report saying, you know, essentially flagging this person, this member of this woman who works for the CIA now, saying, well, maybe she's the suspect in the bombing. And so this really was embraced by right-wing media, despite, I mean, frankly, being based on very little evidence.
Okay, so let's back up a little bit. Tulsi Gabbard's team, I could speak to the top leadership there, did not believe that woman was the lead suspect in this case. Did not believe, let me just highlight, did not believe that. So, Will, that's not truthful. Now, whether or not a lower level of employee maybe circulated a memo that might have been done without Gabbard's consent, that's an investigation that's ongoing. But I also want to highlight the fact that Tapper, from the very beginning of that claim, refers to the Blaze as something that Beck owns. Glenn Beck doesn't own the Blaze. It's actually owned by another family. Glenn Beck just has a show on there, but he likes to take a quick stab at people, of course, without getting all of his facts correct. But that's the media for you. That's the media for you. Now, listen here. I told you all I wasn't going to name the individual that they named in the report. I told you I was going to hold off from showing photos because I had my doubts. People were calling me to tell me who I trust, that it was inaccurate. But the reality of it is this. Why did the FBI take so long to come out and get in front of this? They have been. The new leadership change has been in this position for a very long time now. We shouldn't have waited this long. Shouldn't have waited this long. I would love to see the timeline and how this all progressed. I think that's the interesting angle to this. But most importantly, I want to make sure we got it right. I have read through this criminal complaint. It sounds good, but this doesn't sound like a slam dunk. I wanted to plant something on someone. This might be it. This might be it. So I'd love to see more. I'm told more is going to come. Because, of course, you know, I told our FBI buddies that I don't actually think this is a slam dunk case. And then they told me, don't worry, Brianna, you'll get more information soon. So we're waiting to see when Brian Cole makes his courtroom appearance. We're told then we'll learn more. Because, again, how do they even know to look for this guy? They're just going through credit card records, purchases. I mean, obviously, we live in a surveillance state, so that would make sense. But all of these items that are somewhat common, I would assume, to go through each person's name and to find these items, whether they purchase it from a Home Depot. How are they getting these records from Home Depot? More things I'd like to know a lot about. So we'll continue to learn more on this front. Is this the actual suspect? Well, we'll see. I've been assured that the FBI's got more evidence that they're going to be releasing. And I will be all ears until they do just that. All right, folks, we got more to discuss in just a bit. Do not go anywhere. We've got a lot more to discuss in regards to the narco-terrorist story because I have just reached out to the Pentagon for comments regarding my own speculation about who we are actually going after. And I'll let you know what they said to me. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. It's BOGO on all your favorite supplements for a limited time for our 12 days of Christmas sale. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now.
The 12 days of Christmas sale is here at thealexjonesstore.com. For the next 12 days, we will be running a series of limited time sales. All supplements while supplies last are buy one, get one free. Add any supplement to your cart and get any other supplement free. This isn't buy one supplement, the same supplement, like Ultra Methylene Blue, get another one free. This is you can buy a $20 supplement and get a $40 supplement free. I mean, this is an insanely good deal. You can mix and match any of our amazing supplements together. Don't miss out. This offer ends Sunday, December 7th. Visit thealexjonesstore.com today and fuel your body, mind, and power the info war. Every purchase gets 50x entries to win our Jeep Rubicon 392. Oh, my God. I drove one of those. Just amazing. So smooth. This is not your granddaddy's Jeep. Every purchase gets 50x entries this week Every time you buy something, you put in 50 times in the sweepstakes to win our Jeep Rubicon 392, 10K cash on top of it, and brand new Ford Raptor 10K cash for that. This only happens every few months in a crossover where we're about to end one sweepstakes and a new one's beginning. So there's this 1 week period every 2 months where when you enter to win, you can potentially win both vehicles, and it obviously increases your chance of winning one. The bigger issue is it funds this operation, and we can't do it without you. And we have changed the world together, and InfoWars is more influential than ever thanks to you being in the InfoWar. Everything I sell is the very best supplement we can get, the very best highly rated. I take it all. It has changed my life taking the Shilajit, the Irish Sea Moss, the Bovine Colostrum. These aren't sexy names, but boy, they have sexy effects. The Ultramethylene Blue. And again, consult your physician before you take Methylene Blue. Ours is medical grade, the strongest out there. Talk to your physician first before you take it. This isn't a game. But Bovine Colostrum, should probably rerun that ad. It was just me at dinner for my dad's birthday in November, right after he had open heart surgery. Thank God it went well. And they had just gotten my Bovine Colostrum before we even rolled it out a few months before. And my mother's like, our hair, our nails, our skin, this is insane. Well, Bovine Colostrum works really great. This is the best. We got the private label, the best that's out there. That's just an example of what is available at thealexjonesstore.com. So you can buy any supplement, buy one, get any other supplement you want free, and you've got just 5 days to do it until the 7th of December, 2025. And it's a total win-win. But you're going to get the Bovine Colostrum and have a great effect. You're going to get the Methylene Blue and have an incredible effect. You're going to get the Irish Sea Moss and have a great effect. Now, things like the Irish Sea Moss and Shilajit take a week or so to build up to feel the effects. Same with Bovine Colostrum. Not the case with Methylene Blue. Not the case with our turmeric. That is the strongest. 95% curcuminoid. The average turmeric product is 4%. Still works great for inflammation and, you know, helps your overall immune system and health. So these are all game-changing, amazing products at thealexjonesstore.com. And I want to thank you all for your support. Wide selection of Patriot apparel, you name it. Do your Christmas shopping with us. Ball caps, T-shirts, hoodies, limited edition sweaters. Don't fight the crowds. Get great deals and support the InfoWar. Just decide to do your Christmas shopping at thealexjonesstore.com, and let's continue to change the world together.
In the heart of Texas, where the wild coyotes roam, stood the Alex Jones store, his merry home. The shelves were stacked high with Shilajit, turmeric, Bovine Colostrum too, and he was always stocked high with the precious Methylene Blue. But up on Mount Microchip lived the Grinchiest Grinch that ever was cast, and he stuffed all the supplements in his bag with glee. He took Methylene Blue, Red, Ultimate Life Force, and the Shilajit. In the morning, Alex appeared with a shout, "The Globalist Grinch just robbed my Christmas shop." To be continued.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited that you're all joining us on this beautiful Friday morning. Good that you guys are here joining me. I'm back in the studio. It's been kind of strange. Been on the road. We were obviously in Washington, D.C. earlier this week, and then made our way back over here. A lot going on, a lot to catch you up on, of course. Like Democrats and their love for narco-terrorists, it's been quite strange to see. People who are intentionally trying to poison the American people, whether you are intentionally using drugs or you accidentally come about them and you become poisoned by fentanyl, it's something that has most Americans really upset. We should not be taking these poisonous drugs into our country, and sadly, the last administration never did anything about it. So right now, President Trump is picking a fight with these narco-terrorists, and he's doing his very best to stop them from bringing these fatal drugs into the country. Something, again, Democrats don't like. It's funny. Whatever side he sides with, the President of the United States, Democrats always seem to go the other way. Always. Always. And so that's why you see them advocating for these narco-terrorists. I want to play clip 9 for you, because Democrats seem to have more empathy for these drug dealers who are trying to poison Americans by thousands by bringing their fatal drugs into this country. Take a listen.
You know, I live in a political world, and a lot of folks If you just tell them, you know, the president is killing narco terrorists in the Caribbean, you know, reasonably enough, they'll say, you know, a lot of Americans die because of overdoses. And, you know, they might say, okay, I'm supportive of that, right? But what you need to do is you need to see two terrified men clinging to the wreckage of a ship. And these men are not, this is not Pablo Escobar out there on a boat. You know, these are guys that probably didn't have a lot of economic opportunity, made a terrible decision to participate in the drug trade.
They didn't have a good economic opportunity. Wait a minute, wasn't it Kamala Harris's job as a border czar to fix those economic issues? Didn't she have 4 years to do it? Because she wasn't the great border czar. They made her seem like she was. Well, folks, the reality of it is these terrorists, enablers on the left like to continue to go out there and defend those who are trying to poison our people. So the reality of it is I've got a lot of questions, right? I am concerned. What if we're getting this wrong, right? What if these are actually low-level people who are being blackmailed by the cartels, which we know happens, and forced out onto these boats and vessels to go out there and transport their drugs for them, knowing that there's a high risk involved in all of this, that a drone might come, an American drone might come, and just strike them. Now, it's a very serious threat. And so I asked the Pentagon specific questions, and I did get a statement back from their spokesman, Sean Parnell. My two questions were, will we ever receive the names of the alleged narco-terrorists being killed in these strikes? I also asked them, are we certain these alleged narco-terrorists are cartel members and not innocent civilians, obviously, being blackmailed into this? Now, I asked because obviously this is the left-wing narrative and I want to see what they're going to say. Parnell saying, since the Department of War began striking these vessels, we have consistently said that our intelligence did indeed confirm these boats were trafficking narcotics designated for America, the same intelligence as confirmed that the individuals involved in these drug operations were narco-terrorists. We stand by that assessment. Again, that is the Pentagon spokesman, Sean Parnell. Now, we might not know who these individuals are, their names. I would like to know who their names are so we could actually make sure of it on our own behalf. I want to make sure that these aren't people. Again, this happens quite often, where they use just regular people living in society, villages or whatever it is, and they do blackmail them, threaten their families, and tell them that they have to do this. And then they're forced to carry out these missions. So, again, I think it's fair to ask questions, but I also will never advocate for those who are actually trying to kill thousands of Americans just for profit. And so we continue to see what's going on. Again, yesterday, the Pentagon releasing more footage of another strike that they took out on another vessel. So, again, this continues to develop. The media is out there doing their very best to pretend like there's a lot of issues here. I haven't seen any issues, although I continue to ask these questions to see where the media is even coming up with this argument. If we're going to push back on their claims that these are just innocent people with poor economic environments, what caused them to go out there and to bring drugs to the United States. I want to make sure that these are actual cartel members, people who are actually on a mission to profit and kill as many Americans as possible. I mean, that's what we want to know. And so time and time again, I will continue to ask these questions over at the Pentagon. And they did meet my deadline, so I'll give them credit where credit's due. But folks, again, the corporate media is really doing its best to side with these people. I want to turn to clip 10, because this one's interesting, too, the AutoPen update. James Comer is out there. He's the chairman, obviously, who's leading this investigation into the AutoPen scandal. And he's giving us the very latest update that he has now learned on all of that. Take a listen.
There were never any meetings blocked off for him to discuss these pardons with anyone. His emails, there was never any email correspondence between the Department of Justice or between Biden's staff or between Jeff Zients, who was the only one we could ever find, his former chief of staff, who authorized the use and heard directly from Joe Biden, according to Jeff Zients. So there's no record that indicates Joe Biden participated in any way, shape, or form in the decision-making of the thousands of pardons that were issued using his AutoPen. So it's not necessarily just the use of the AutoPen on legal documents, which you're not supposed to do. It's the fact that Joe Biden was, his cognitive decline was being covered up by his inner circle. I don't think anyone in America doubts that now. But also, there's no records to indicate that he had participate in any decision making. And that's the problem. Only the President of the United States has the authority to issue pardons, not some unnamed bureaucratic staffer, which is what the case was with the Biden administration. Well,
now, it's very likely that these individuals were probably paid off. All you have to do is look at who had access to that auto pen and take a look at their finances. They could be a very easy point to prove. Again, there were several people who were given pardons, and we had no idea why. Also, Joe Biden allegedly decided to relieve those who were sitting on death row and making sure that their lives were spared. They did so without asking the victims' families of those murder victims, or the victims of the murder crimes that were committed. So ultimately, what do we have here? Well, we have an individual who is an absolute disgrace and allowed those who were behind the scenes to hijack AutoPen and use it whenever they wanted to. Again, obviously, this was not something that was supposed to happen. And it's great that we're putting out more information out there, but I want to see something done. I want to see something done. Enough is enough with all of this. Oh, I was just like scrolling through. Hold on, I got to play this. I got to find it. I was just scrolling through Twitter. There's the Minnesota, what is it? It's Minneapolis mayor, Jacob Frey. What's up? I'll put this in the rundown for you guys. It's so bad. He is the mayor who you saw, as many of you guys know. You saw him hovering and crying over George Floyd's casket during the BLM riots. Well, now he's trying to eat Somalian food. And his reaction is just epic. It is just so great. He's trying his best to obviously play into the Somalian population. This guy is such a, I don't know if we could say this word on air. This is a free speech place. He's such a cuck. He's sitting here crying over the casket of George Floyd, and here he is now in another video trying his very best to eat at a Somalian restaurant. I don't even know what a Somalian restaurant would look like. Probably don't want to know. But he's doing his best to down all that food. It literally looks like a poop emoji. And he's trying his best to swallow it. You can tell in his face he wants to die on the inside. Everyone's watching him eat it because they all know it's disgusting. He's going to gag. Oh, my gosh. This is why it's so bad to do these political stunts. Pretending like this is food. They have their cameras all in his face as he eats this garbage. Ugh. This is the big contributions that they tell us all that they brought to our country. It's funny because when the Democrats continue to go out there and defend their Somalians, they don't really have much in the way of rebuttal. In fact, I want to play clip 11 for you because as they continue to go out there and to pretend like Somalians make a great impact on our economy when we all know it's not the case, they pretend that they've contributed and it's absurd and it's never received any pushback. Take a listen.
It's extremely dangerous. It's all lies. The Somali American community, I have one of the largest populations in my home state. In fact, I got my start working on immigrant issues, working with the Somali American population. And the calling people garbage, calling them leeches, all the ways in which he's dehumanizing immigrants, that is the goal of this administration, is to dehumanize immigrants. But let me be clear, despite that, the majority of Americans across the country, regardless of political party, know that immigrants from all over the world, Somalia, India, wherever they're from, Latin America, Africa, that immigrants have built this country and make this country what it is today. And so Americans are not accepting this, but I do think that the lawlessness of this administration and the cruelty is deeply hurtful, and it is terrorizing people. We're hearing about people who are not going to doctor's appointments, not getting their dialysis treatments, not getting their cancer treatments, not going to work, not showing up at their child cares or their schools, in whatever profession they're in, because they're terrified. And that is just so outrageous and so out of any kind of a norm, Anna, and it's going to hurt us. It's going to hurt our economy for sure, and it hurts our democracy and who we are as a country.
I love when they spin it like that. It's going to hurt us. No, it's not going to hurt us. You know, it's hurting us having them here in the first place. They have done nothing but leech off of our system. I'm going to keep saying that, leech off our system, and they take more than they provide. And there's more facts of just that. Take a look at this tweet from Matt Walsh. He outlines it because obviously the local news is trying to pretend like the Somalians, who are obviously living right now in Minnesota, have contributed. They say, okay, they've contributed like at least $500 million in income annually and about $67 million in state and local taxes. So then Matt Walsh just does the math, says that there's around 80,000 Somalians living in the state. They contribute $67 million in state and local taxes. That means that each pay an average of $800 or so. Put them in perspective, the average person who lives in the state of Minnesota pays about $8,000 to $10,000 in state and local taxes, which means Somalians are contributing more than 10 times less than the rest of them. Oh, they hope you couldn't do math. They hope you couldn't break that down. They hope you don't understand the numbers here. And they love to sit here and say that we are targeting immigrants. We are not targeting immigrants. We're not targeting immigrants. We are simply going over the facts that the Biden regime intentionally brought in thousands, and obviously Obama, don't leave that one out either, thousands and millions of people from areas that weren't developed, areas that aren't developed, third world countries. They did so intentionally because they wanted people who would be leeches to the system, people who needed the government, because they predicted that at some point Republicans, which is likely, are going to fold, and they are going to allow these people to become U.S. citizens with amnesty and then add them to our voter rolls. They're leeches. These people don't even care to try to assimilate. It is not the immigration that our family members came here for. You see, my family came here to contribute. They didn't come here with their hands out. Maybe they might have needed some assistance in the very beginning, but guess what? That didn't last long, a couple of months. Because when you're trying to get your feet on the ground and rebuild, and then build for future generations of your family, you don't rely on the government. But that's not what they're doing here. And they know that. That's why their local governments are offering funds, thousands of dollars, to their women who decide to have more and more children. There's a reason why they're doing all of this. They are trying their very best to take away our voices when it comes to elections. And that's what's playing out before the American people. Oh, let me give you this update too, by the way. We put up this tweet yesterday. And it's interesting because as many of you guys know, I've been covering the Afghans for years now who were brought into this country through Joe Biden's Operation Welcome Allies program, even though many of them were not our allies. Thousands of Afghans flooded into our country. We didn't know where they were coming from. I told you guys for years now that a lot of these individuals were accused of sexual crimes, sexual assault, violent acts. And what happened there? Well, the Biden administration did their very best to try to hide it. Well, now the Trump administration is doing their best to go out there and try to capture a lot of these predators. And it hasn't been easy, but I did get an email update yesterday with about, I think it was about 10 of these guys who were just recently arrested. A lot for other crimes that weren't sexually related, but in this tweet I highlighted for you guys, I outlined specifically the men who have been accused of sexual crimes, of rape. Several of them, all of them coming, of course, under Operation Allies. I mean, it's ridiculous that this happened in the first place, but of course, nobody cared. And one of these individuals charged was fondling a child. I mean, these were the people that were brought into our country. And although the left will sit here and say, oh, of course, people are going to have sexual assault cases, doesn't mean that all Afghans are bad. Our cultures are not the same. Our cultures are not the same. As soon as we brought these people onto military bases, they went around and started sexually assaulting children and women. And there's evidence of just that. But the problem is this. As many of you guys saw, I tried my very best to ask the Pentagon about that when I was there. Didn't really get a direct answer as to if they plan on releasing all of these assaults, information on these assaults. But, I mean, we know some of them before they stopped reporting on it. We know instantly that these assaults were taking place against children and women. And so, I'm going to continue to keep pushing for it. Because you, the American people, have a right to know. By the way, also, I didn't even know it. There was over $260 million in damages caused by these Afghan refugees who were brought onto U.S. military bases. I even missed that report. It came out from a Pentagon report. These people were brought onto our military bases, and then what did they do? Well, they vandalized the property. Destroyed furniture and other things, which resulted in $260 million in damages that you will now have to cough up. There's the report. One of the instances, too, is like clogged toilets. Plumbing issues. Oh, those are our allies. They come to our country. They instantly start destroying things here, vandalizing things, causing $260 million in damages, and then go around sexually assaulting women and children. And then other things too. There was like a robbery incident from another one. I mean, there was other cases too. But they don't care. And this is what they continue pushing. They're just like us, they say. They're just like us. It's absolute garbage. And again, as we talk to more veterans who spent time extensively over in Afghanistan, if you haven't seen my interview with Sean Parnell, I asked him too about what happened to him when he was in Afghanistan. An interpreter was supposed to be working with us, actually led them to an IED that was planted in the ground, which exploded, obviously, when it was timed perfectly, because that's exactly what this interpreter did. He set them up. And sadly, one of the individuals in Parnell's platoon was killed in all of this, several injured. Now, again, where do these people go? You know, there were so many people who were advocating for the interpreters to be brought into our country to be saved. And now we are all dealing with all of this. Also, I'm going to ask Mel Kay in a little bit, too, about the CIA angle to this. I think that's really, really important. Individuals who are working with the CIA come into our country and end up fatally shooting one guardsman and one who's still fighting for his life. But they keep telling us that these people are just like the immigrants who've come in generations and generations ago. Something tells me that's not the case, though. Something tells me that's not the case. All right, I want to keep playing some clips, too, because I think this is really interesting. Let's bring it back to the pipe bomber story. I want to play clip 5 for you, because Christopher Wray was asked if the FBI was able to identify and arrest anyone who was how he was able to arrest the J6ers and ID the pipe bomber. This was asked back in 2023. Take a listen to Ray's response.
Okay. So you were able to arrest hundreds of individuals who were allowed into the Capitol, walked around, took selfies, but we can't find the individual who committed the most dangerous crime and attempted to cause multiple mass casualty events at the Capitol or around the Capitol.
Congressman, we have an entire dedicated team focused specifically on this investigation. We've done thousands of interviews, visited, again, just in the pipe bomb investigation, okay. Thousands of interviews, visited thousands of residents and businesses, reviewed millions of pieces of data. There's something like 39,000 video files. We've assessed like 500 or something tips. We've done extensive public publicity. We've increased the reward money. We've got our lab working on it. We've got our WMD directorate working on it. We've got our Office of Technology Division, our cellular analysis team. So the folks that we have working on this investigation are working very aggressively on it. And I, as much as anybody, would like to see it solved.
But we all would have liked to see it solved. And unfortunately, that was not the case. Now, I want to pull up a CNN article for you guys all because we just got this in. So let's get to it together. Q's D.C. pipe bomber told FBI he believed the 2020 election was stolen. Oh! They always know what to say. They always know what to say. It's like someone trained him. I probably should also mention Democrats. I think it was like 50% of Democrats also believe the 2020 election was stolen. So take that. During his interview with the FBI, the suspect arrested and the pipe bombing probe told investigators that he believed the 2020 election was stolen, providing perhaps the first indication of a possible motive for the bombs left outside of the DNC and the RNC. Oh, those conspiracy theorists. Do we have a source? Yeah. No source. Oh my gosh. The source says there's no name source here. The FBI arrested Brian Cole, obviously, as many of you guys know. So of course you're going to say that he is one of us. It's one of us. No, but I mean, it's true. I mean, Democrats did say in large 50% of them that the 2020 election was stolen. Maybe he's referring to the primary where they let Joe Biden clear the avenue. The left's so-called victory. Wasn't this pipe bomb supposed to go off at the Black Caucus? I feel like we heard this too before. So I don't know what to believe. I feel like everyone's full of it. They're full of it. I also heard these weren't viable explosives. Now they're viable. I don't know. No one seems to tell the truth. Q keep in mind too, folks, we're supposed to get more information on all of this. I have to say this sarcastically because as of right now, this isn't a slam dunk for me, and I'm not going to put my face on this and pretend like this is true. He's expected to make his court appearance later today, though, this afternoon, and has not yet entered a plea. Yeah, I don't know. Good find, guys. Yeah, CNN would push that one. They would push that one. I feel like everyone's a liar right now. I don't trust anyone. And the fact that they're claiming, I mean, Julie Kelly did say that he was somebody with ties to Antifa. I believe I saw that with her in a Steve Bannon interview. That claim was made. So quote me on that one. I have to look that one up again. So it's not really surprising, though, because technically, given the fact that 50% of Democrats did believe that the election was stolen as well, that could possibly be the case. Okay, looks like I'm reading a Megyn Kelly clip from yesterday. Julie Kelly on the alleged J6 pipe bomber potentially ties to Antifa. I don't know. I'll take your calls out later on the show, though, to get your take on all of this. I want to hear what your thoughts are. Do you see anything here of substance? Does anything ring any bells? Yeah, again, a lot of this, too. Everyone believed he was a violent left-winger. I don't know. I really wish the FBI would release more. Actually, too, it's worth noting, I usually do see more in these criminal complaints. These are usually a little bit more lengthier. So this is, I mean, it's detailed from the angle of the purchases that were made. Yes. I mean, they're outlining it for you here. But again, let's see some of it. I don't know. I'm one of those people where if the FBI wanted to put something on you, plant something on you, that they could. And so I'm going to need more than just cell phones being in the area. Because anyone could put a cell phone in an area. And then they say they have his car photographed going into particular areas, it looks like. On the last page, observed driving past a license plate reader at South Capitol Street exit of Interstate 395 South. That's the case. Let's see some photos. All right, folks, get more on the way in just a few moments. Don't go anywhere. In the meantime, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. It is our final hours over at our contest going on right now. With every purchase, you get 50 times entries into winning a cool ride over at thealexjonesstore.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf. And I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
It is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win, but regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it and support us, we'll be off the air. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas.
Happy Friday, everyone. Welcome to the American Journal. And you guys know, it's been a busy week for me back in studio now. Glad to be here. It's kind of cold in Austin. You know, no one told me when I moved to Texas that it actually gets really, really cold. I've been here a lot, but not, I guess I missed the whole winter. I guess every time I came here, I missed winter. I didn't know winter happened in Austin, Texas, but it's happening and it's cold. It's very, very cold, but it feels like Christmas. That was the one thing I didn't get when I was in South Florida. So it's a big difference, I'd say. We have a jam-packed program for you still up ahead as we head our way into the second hour of the show. As many of you know, if you saw me on X today, I was kind of going off a little bit about Piers Morgan. You probably don't like him. I don't like him. I usually don't voice my personal opinions on individuals, but because he's not American, I figured let's just let it rip. Let's let it rip. I'll kind of detail it at length, but I found out today that Piers Morgan blocked me after I declined to go on his show. How dare you decline to go on Piers Morgan's show? I did say yes once before, and then they ghosted me because they found out I was going to talk about Tommy Robinson, which I think they had a jailhouse source in that. And then quickly, they did come back around a couple months later and started asking me to come on all the time. Oh, just come on. We want Tommy Robinson on there too. Now all of a sudden they want to talk to Tommy Robinson, but they only want to talk to Tommy Robinson because they want him to. Tommy Robinson has a gag order. He can't talk. And you know that Piers Morgan hates him, despises him. Like anytime he could say Tommy Robinson's name, he says it. And so that would be the reason why he wants to have him on. But folks, Piers Morgan wants me on his show. I said no, and then I got blocked. So I've got a lot of names to call Piers Morgan. And we're going to do that in just a little bit with Matthew Marsden. Matthew Marsden has a British accent, so he comes from a place of authority on this issue. And that's the reason why we asked him to do this for me. I also want to have on to the show today my good friend, Joseph McBride. We'll have him on in just a little bit. He is our criminal defense attorney, seventh by hour. I guess... Just like my point of reference. Anytime I have a question, a legal question, I usually turn to McBride. He's incredible what he does. And I've got a lot of questions in regards to the pipe bomber. I mean, I am no great legal analyst, even though I used to binge watch Nancy Grace back in the day when I was a kid. That's pretty much my legal background these days. But I want to ask him about this criminal complaint. Maybe he sees something of substance here. He's a criminal defense attorney, so he would know if this is a slam dunk. We're also going to ask him, too, about Letitia James, because she was not indicted by a grand jury. He just rejected it completely. So what's next? Are we going to appeal? Well, that's my question for McBride as well. Also, McBride will be joining me to discuss Dan Bongino, the deputy director of the FBI. He was once someone who loved to publicly speak out and give his takes on things. Now, suddenly, he is not doing just that in opinion-wise, but he did insert his opinion here. He actually did refer to Miranda Devine as Deep State Devine. Miranda Devine is absolutely incredible. Dan Bongino just had his feelings hurt, and so he went after the Queen. Now, Pride knows Miranda quite well, so we'll get his take on that as well in this hour of the show. We'll be taking your calls in the next hour. The third hour of the program, and also Mel Kay joining me as well. Mel Kay, got a lot of questions for her. Remember that story last week about that Afghan refugee who shot two guardsmen in D.C.? Well, my question specifically for Mel is, he's got a tie to the CIA. He used to work for the CIA. So what the heck's going on here? Well, obviously, she's someone who knows very well about the Zero Unit. She's actually writing a book about the CIA, and so I look forward to getting her take on that as well. Well, so a lot to discuss in the second hour and third hour of the program, so don't go anywhere. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com because today's the last day to win a Jeep 392 plus $10,000 in cash. Plus, every time you make a purchase over at the shop, you guys are going to get 50 times the entries right now over thealexjonesstore.com. And you could also potentially win two vehicles, not just the Jeep. We've also got a Ford Raptor up right now over at thealexjonesstore.com that you could possibly win, plus $20,000 in cash potentially. I mean, it's a lot of money, a lot of cars. So now's the perfect time to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. And also we have buy one, get one free on our supplements going on right now. Again, that is a limited time sale. So head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com and make sure you buy up because folks, these sales, these incredible deals and potentially to win two cars and 20 grand in cash. Well, that's not going to last forever. We got a couple more hours left in that. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. All right. More on the way in a second. Don't go anywhere.
Well, barring a miracle, InfoWars, the website, the studio, will be shut down somewhere in or around January 1st, 2026. But regardless, the InfoWar lives on. But InfoWarsStore.com, the legendary site that literally funded the InfoWar because of your great support with so many great products, has gotten two final shipments in of Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil. Both are the highest quality, the best out there. They're fan favorites. And right now, they're 40% off until they sell out. So this is probably, I said about 90% chance, your last chance to get Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil at InfoWarsStore.com. But don't worry, the InfoWar will continue with the Alex Jones Network. It will continue with all the other work we're doing. But right now, if you want to get these legendary products the last time you can, get them exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Again, they're both 40% off for a limited time, so take action now, InfoWarsStore.com.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. It's good to have you all on board with us on this beautiful Friday morning as we kick off the second hour of the program. A lot to dive into. You saw me on X earlier today. You probably saw I was a little fired up this morning when I woke up. Not because I was angry or anything, but because, you know, when I was gone and covering the Pentagon, I received a text message. I received a couple of text messages, and I was very busy, a very busy person. But Piers Morgan's producers reached out, and they had asked me to come on his show. Now, Piers Morgan had asked me in the past one time, the very first time I did say yes, and then they quickly ghosted me. I'll explain why in a little bit. But I've declined several times now, and it's because I don't really like Piers Morgan. I don't. When we go over what happened during the pandemic, Piers Morgan was one of the major talking heads who went out there and lied to the people of this country and people in the UK. He had no problem going after those who stood for medical freedom, and he called them mean, mean names and tried to generalize all of us, anti-vaxxers and such. And they tried to make it seem like we were the problem. So I wrote his producer and just said, I'm not interested in ever going on with Piers. Now, they asked for a reason, and I got very busy, so I couldn't respond. I did send them a reason today, though. I probably won't put that on air right now. Maybe on X. I'm not afraid of what I said. It's just a little, you know, vulgar. After I learned that he blocked me after that message. But hear me out. After I declined going on, he blocked my Twitter account. Piers Morgan is a treasonous pig. There's no other way to look at this. He has sat back, and he's watched his country decay. And although people are all of a sudden saying, oh, he's an advocate for free speech, see, it's a show that's called Uncensored. They truly believe that he is an advocate for free speech, but he's not. That's why you see him focusing on American politics rather than the politics of his own country. His own country is an absolute hellhole right now. You can't speak freely in the UK because, well, they'll throw you in prison. Thousands of Brits have been tossed in prison because they wanted to speak freely, something they can't do. And he knows that. That's why he's so focused on American politics. He won't dare to call out his own because if he does, well, off to the slammer he goes. And then you have to put Piers Morgan on a diet. And if you were to find out what a jailhouse diet looks like, he wouldn't want to be there. You see, Piers Morgan has traded his people in, Brits, natives, for Indian food. He historically put up a tweet the other day where he outlined just that, that in fact, he would trade white people in for his favorite Indian dish. Now, given the fact that I am very base, I've actually never even had curry because, well, it's a very sensitive topic here. But I know what's going on in this country right now. I know what's going on in the UK. I know that they have traded our people in, and they have now decided that they're going to replace us with people who are really don't love us, don't love the Western way of life, and people who, like you've seen before, men specifically, are going around their country raping their children and women. Now, Piers Morgan has given a platform to a couple of the victims, but he's been a louder advocate for the men doing just that. So although he sits there and pretends like I'm giving these women a platform, he does it when it's safe. Piers Morgan is all about speaking out on issues when it's safe. Now that we've won the information war, he loves to have conservatives on his show, but he was always the enemy. He was the one who was going out there and pushing the false narratives to the globalist pigs who are destroying both of our countries. Now, obviously, we look across the pond and we can see what's happened in the UK, and we know exactly why that's all happened. They don't have a constitution. They've surrendered their weapons. In fact, as many of you guys know, time and time again, you saw in the video when an Egyptian-born man came after me in a stairwell. You know what saved my life? A gun. They can't do that in the UK. So that's why people like Piers Morgan, instead of defending women and children, have found themselves aligned with the garbage they've imported over these last few decades. Now again, Piers Morgan is someone who doesn't speak out on issues until it's trendy to get a couple of views. Now I could have sat on Piers Morgan's show and called him a bunch of names. I could have. But then he would have gotten clicks, and that's what he wants. He wants clicks. He doesn't care if he's attacked. He doesn't care. He wants people to tune into his show now. He's a mouthpiece for everything that we hate that's going on right now in this world. I won't give him that. I did, though, at one point, and I'll be transparent here, I did tell Pierce that I would go on his show. This happened when Tommy Robinson was in prison. You see, Tommy Robinson was in prison because, well, they didn't like his coverage. They tried their very best in the UK to censor him, so they threw him in solitary confinement. And while Tommy Robinson was sitting in solitary confinement, being abused by the government, Pierce would go out there and rip him on the daily. Still does this day. And so I wanted to be Tommy Robinson's voice, his defense. So I reached out. I said yes when they sent me the invitation. Just tell, when would you like me on? I was told it was going to be the following week. And then I didn't hear from his producer after I confirmed. And I followed up that day and even sent them a text message, and they ignored me. But they probably had found out something that I had done behind the scenes. I had reached out to Tommy Robinson in prison and asked Tommy Robinson for a statement that I could read on air when I was on with Pierce in his defense. Pierce Morgan, such a man where he has to attack someone when he's supposed to be silent through gag orders that are still ongoing. And he's such a man that he does it when he's locked up in solitary confinement being abused by the same government that has, well, Pierce Morgan tied up and refusing to speak out on these issues. So, of course, Tommy Robinson did send me back a statement, but you know what happened? The jail wouldn't let me read the message that was sent. No, they didn't. They actually told me that they were blocking it. But then suddenly when it was my time to go on Pierce Morgan's show, you know what happens? His producer, the same producer that reached out to me a couple of days ago, actually was MIA ghosting me. So now they claim that they want Tommy Robinson on their show, but why do they want him on? Well, as many of you guys know, Tommy Robinson is a very emotional man because he is fighting for women and obviously children of the UK, and he wants to make sure that they have a future where they can walk down a street without being worried about being raped by foreigners. But he has a gag order that if he speaks out on certain issues, he will be quickly swept up and thrown back into solitary confinement where they will abuse him again. So why would Pierce want him on the show? Well, probably debate him. Because Pierce is an evil, treasonous pig who has more hatred in his heart for Tommy Robinson than love for his country. Joining me now to discuss is Matthew Morrison. He is an actor. He also has a British accent, so I feel like he speaks from a place of authority here. And he joins me now. Okay, Matthew. So listen, here's my thing, right? I'm a little fired up over this story because I was actually going through your Twitter page, reading what you put up about Pierce Morgan. I was like, oh, let me just go to Pierce Morgan's page to read the original tweet. And that's when I learned I was blocked. So you got me fired up this morning. What are your thoughts on all of this, though? Because Pierce Morgan seems to be focused, hyper-focused on American politics rather than his own politics from his own country.
Well, firstly, thank you for having me on again. It's good to be on the show. Yeah, there's a lot going on here. So firstly, to unpack it, I think what you have to look at first and foremost is when Piers Morgan came over to America, as I came over to America, we had two very different approaches to immigration. When I came here, I started reading about the founding fathers. I started looking into what made America great. And coming from a similar, I don't say like a similar background because we're from very different backgrounds, but similar cultures, what that allowed me to do when I came here was look and say, okay, why is there a Second Amendment? Why is there a First Amendment? What is the Constitution? And look at it with fresh eyes rather than coming to this country and dictating the way that this country should be based upon where I came from. Now, this is a massive issue with immigration anyway. So if you think of it like that, where I come over here, I look and I start researching why the country is where it is, come from a background where we didn't have guns, to come here and understand why it is vital that Americans have guns. That is a different perspective. And we all remember that Piers was very anti-Second Amendment. Well, if you don't have a Second Amendment, you can't have a First Amendment. And if you don't have a First Amendment, you don't have a right to free speech. And as you said earlier on, England has a tradition and Great Britain has a tradition of free speech, not something that is enshrined in any kind of constitution. That's very, very important to understand, because if you look at what's going on in the UK, the people that are coming into the UK are not assimilating. They're not trying to find out what is going on in the country, what the background of the country is, and what the culture of that country is. And that's a huge problem. So for me, I find that an issue, because when I came to America, I looked at it like that. I looked and I said, I'm a guest in this country. I'm privileged to be in this country. So I should adopt the traditions and history of this country. Piers didn't. So when I look at what's going on in the UK, I think that immigrants into that country should abide by those same rules. He doesn't. So you can see the difference in mindset there, right, Brianna? That's a very, very different attitude. Now, the other thing to be mindful of, in America, there isn't a class system. In America, you can come here, you can be working class, you can be lower class, you can clean the toilets for a living and then become a multimillionaire and change the way that you live your life, right? Change the quality of life that you have. And that is the American dream. If you work hard enough, you can achieve whatever you want in the United States. It is not like that in the United Kingdom. There is a class system. You have very much like working class, which we consider to be like a blue collar background. Middle class is not what it means here, right? It's not, it's very much more wealthy. And then you've got the aristocracy, right? So those are the three levels. And when you look at that, the people that are being affected the most by the mass immigration into the United Kingdom are the working class, which is where I came from. So these are my people. That's not where Piers comes from. Piers is from a middle class kid. And by the way, good for him. His parents did very well. This isn't a hate thing. Good for him. His parents did well, sent him to a great school. He went through college, whatever. But what that does is there's a little bit of a disconnect between the people on the ground and what they're feeling, which for the most part is the working class communities in the United Kingdom. And they're seeing this. This kind of mass invasion, which is what it is, completely disrupt their life and completely disrupt their culture. And so it's important to remember that when everything goes down, when which is what is going to happen, there's going to be disorder in the United Kingdom. There's going to be violence. I've been saying this for a very long time. Piers can hop on a plane and go wherever he wants. Mm. My people, the working class people I grew up with, they can't. They're stuck there dealing with it. And so what you are seeing there, Brianna, is this kind of elitist attitude. Even though you might not see packaged like that, I mean, you do sometimes on X where they're like, oh, Tommy Robinson, because he has a certain accent, he's a dummy, he's this, he's that. And so what they do is they use ad hominem attacks to actually not address the issues that he's talking about. And I think that this is where you have this massive disconnect. You have someone that doesn't really understand what is going on, and someone that really, until it affects them personally, they're not involved. They don't care about it. They want to live in this kumbaya world. Well, I don't, because my mom, my sister, my son, they're all still over in that situation. So it's very personal to me. And I do feel like until it's very personal for them, they're not going to do anything. They're not going to see how bad this is.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, interesting. Also, I should add this angle to it too. Tommy Robinson, really only started doing what he does now because one of his family members was sexually assaulted, by one of these Pakistani men. So this is why he does all of this activism work. And although I know a lot of people don't like his stance on Israel, the reality of it is it didn't start with his stance on Israel. It started with, his family member being the victim in a sexual assault case. And that's when he made sure that this was going to be his destiny, where he advocated for these victims. I want to play clip 13 for you as well, Marsden, because this one is Piers Morgan trying to justify that tweet that he put out in regards to trading white people in for Indian food. Take a listen to his defense.
There's a lot of white English people that you would trade for a good weekly chicken tikka masala.
Yeah.
Would you trade any other groups of people in England? Well,
yeah, of course
for food?
I would. And nobody has actually asked me, so thank you for bringing it up.
Yeah, this is
who I meant by a lot of white English people. It was people like Tommy Robinson and his followers who'd been spewing the most horrific racist abuse in the last 3 weeks or so. And I would quite happily swap Tommy Robinson for a chicken tikka masala. The general point I was making is that I believe that my country, England, is not fallen. It's not stricken. It's not been invaded by foreigners. I believe there are genuine, legitimate issues in our country about the way immigration has been handled. But we are and remain a template, actually, of how multiculturalism can work. However, I have also been supportive of people like Robinson when they've been exposing the grooming gangs and things like that. I don't pretend there aren't issues with immigration. I do hit back at the idea that my country is fallen. And that somehow England or London in particular has been run over and it's like Armageddon here. Honestly, come to England, come to London. I'll take you out for a chicken tikka masala or a fish and chips and you won't see a country that's fallen. But you will see that successive governments on left and right have woefully mishandled our immigration.
Okay, so Marston, he claims that, you know, the UK hasn't fallen, but if I were to go to the UK, it's very likely that I would end up being arrested or detained. We had an individual on this show who was detained when he actually made his way back to the UK from the US because of his social media posts where he is constantly wearing bacon and he makes jokes about Muslims in the country, and they didn't like that, so they pulled him in and actually seized his phone and used their terrorism act, I believe it was, to go through his phone and make him hand over his password. He was just on our show a couple of weeks ago. So there is issues with the UK. He just seems to be kind of going over it and just not criticizing them. Do you think that there's issues there right now that are going on, or are we overdoing this?
Oh, no, you're not overdoing it at all. I mean, I have absolutely no doubt that I would be arrested if I went back there just for things that I've said that 5 years ago wouldn't have been a problem. I mean, there's so much to unpack there in what he said. Has the UK fallen? Yes, it has. It has. If you are looking at right now a Labour government that has been throwing people in jail for memes and social media posts, that's an issue.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a country that's spread freedom all around the world. Now, you know, people have criticized the colonialist and the imperial British. But the truth is, look at the places after the places, certainly in Africa, after Great Britain and England pulled out. I mean, they descended into chaos. But you have an issue there where there's this cognitive dissonance. I went back to the UK last year. I lived in London for some time. I lived in London. I lived in Manchester. I'm from a little place that's just north of Birmingham. Mm-hmm. It was unrecognizable to me. And I think that it's really important to understand this. When you go to London, the things you see were things built 100 years ago or longer, right? If you go there, all right, there's been it's the banking capital pretty much of the world there with New York. So there's a lot of money in the city of London, but the places you go to, they're not places that have been created over the past 10, 15 years. They're, you know, you can go to Downing Street, you can go to Piccadilly Circus, you can go and see all these, like the Tower of London, which is my favorite place. But without a shadow of a doubt, it had changed since when I'd been there. And I felt uncomfortable at times going down the streets. And I know that place like the back of my hand. So it's absolutely not true what he's saying. And I think that, you know, there needs to be a bit of understanding here and a bit of empathy for someone like Tommy Robinson, because he's been out there for years. He's been thrown in jail. You can't just say, oh, well, I agree with what he says on the grooming gangs and just dismiss everything else. You know, he's been right on a whole bunch of things, but also he's been vilified for what he said about the grooming gangs. Like, hindsight is 2020, right? It's like now they want to say, as you said earlier on, Piers was what he said about COVID. You know that I stood up against the COVID mandates and about the vaccinations. And now people are memory holding that. It could have been a lot worse and it was really bad. But people like Piers should have stood up for people like us who turned around and said, look, we want to have our own freedom to say no to these things. You don't just get to go, oh, well, you know, that's okay, it's gone now, and move on. We were looking at, and it was right now, a draconian situation with the government coming in, keeping you in your home, don't forget, Brianna, and again, the memory holding on this is unbelievable. There were people out there that couldn't hold the hands of their loved ones while they died.
Yeah,
this is horrendous. And we're just kind of like glazing over that, glazing over what's going on with Tommy Robinson. In 1 week you had, for example, I know in my hometown in Walsall, a girl was followed by an Afghan migrant, asylum, whatever it is, which to me, they are invaders.
Yeah.
They are invaders. And he says, we don't have invaders. Yes, we do. They followed this girl to the train station and stabbed her to death. One of those people, Brianna, is one too many. There was another guy that was stabbed to death by an Afghan migrant walking his dog. I mean, there was the son of Somalians went and killed three little beautiful girls. And would have killed more. It's not going to end. There are more people that are going to die. But guess who isn't going to be affected by that? Piers Morgan. He's not going to be affected by that. And the lack of empathy and the lack of understanding what it means to regular folks. Just one person dying. I said that over here. The moment that illegal immigrant, because I'm not allowed to say that anymore, right? Illegal immigrant is killed on here. Then the borders should go up. And people need to be deported immediately.
Yeah.
Well, there's no question about that.
Morrison, that's what people would say if they truly love their country and the people of their country. They would make sure of that. And that's what's so sad about this. And I like how you detailed. He is an elitist. He thinks he's better than everyone. And now that he sees that he could get ratings by having all these conservatives on who are, when at the height of cancel culture, were being targeted by cancel culture. I mean, they asked me a couple of weeks ago to come on to talk about Nick Fuentes. Go get Nick Fuentes on your show. Don't ask me to talk about another person and their speech, because I am not here to sit here and speak out about other people's speech. It's so absurd. Now he's having Nick Fuentes on. Why? Because it's safe and it's a ratings booster. And so now he's okay with bringing him and having him on his show. And he thinks that people like myself going on his show is like the platform, the proof that you are a patriot who loves your country. And he tries to make people feel, like declining the invitation to come on his program is somehow questioning your level of patriotism. It's totally absurd. And you know what? When the cancel culture mob came for him, I said at the time it was wrong, but the reality of it is this man hasn't suffered enough consequences for his behavior, and he continues to go out there and to target people for their speech and still speaks ill of Tommy Robinson, says that he says racist things, but can't actually give a direct quote. I've never heard Tommy Robinson say anything racist publicly at all, or even privately in our private conversation. And so here he is continuously going out there and doing just that. So he's an absolute disgrace. But you know what, Marzin, you're not a disgrace. And you also have an incredible social media account to give it follow. So everyone online right now, give him a follow on X. Matthew D. Marzin, that's what you're going to want to follow right now on X. And you are also on YouTube as well, Matthew D. Marzin as well. Marzin, thank you for joining us. You know, I always appreciate your takes on these issues, of course. And we look forward to having you back on again soon. So thank you, my friend.
Thank you for having me.
All right, folks, I want to let you know that we have a couple more hours left on a very incredible giveaway going on right now over at the alexjonesstore.com. It is the last day to enter to win the Jeep 392 plus $10,000 in cash. It's interesting because whenever you make a purchase right now, you're going to get 50 times the entries to enter to possibly win two cars, actually. It's not just the Jeep. It's two of these vehicles. And so ultimately, and $20,000 in cash too, I should say. So head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com because, again, you could win up to 20 grand plus two cars, you know, the Ford Raptor and the Jeep you see there on your screen. Plus, we're also doing buy one, get one free on all supplements right now. So it is a great time to stock up if you are in the need to do just that. So head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com. All right, more on the way. Don't go anywhere.
Nicotinamide. Now that's a $1,000 word. But what it is the raw precursor of NAD. Now NAD energizes the entire body, cleans out the cells. It's amazing. But most people cannot absorb raw NAD. That's why you need the precursor, which this product has from organic form, but it has so much more. Ladies and gentlemen, we are so excited to announce this new product, DNA Revival. This doesn't just have the precursor to NADN. It's got all the other organic compounds known to clean out your cells, give you incredible energy with no letdown, and supercharge your overall health. Right now, you get this product out of the gates, massively discounted at thealexjonesstore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, all the products are incredible. They all work synergistically together. But I've got to tell you, Ultra DNA Revival is a game changer for everyone. Young people, works great for them. But particularly middle-aged and older folks will really feel the difference. Now, things like our ultramethylene blue hits in 15 to 20, 30 minutes, okay? Our CMOS takes a week or so to build up. So does the bovine colostrum. Same thing with this. A week to 2 weeks, but within a month, 90-plus percent of people report incredible changes on every front. You need to go out and do your own research into NAD. You do your own research to all the ingredients that are in this product. And then realize, this is the private label of a nationwide bestseller that has the top reviews in the country. Most of the products at theauctionstore.com, we didn't invent. We go out. What has the highest ratings? What's the most tested? What has the best reviews? They let us private label it, and we sell it to you. That way you get a great product at a competitive price, and you keep the show on the air. So take advantage of this new product right now, Ultra DNA Revival, at thealexjonesstore.com, and know that it funds the second American revolution worldwide. But if you don't get DNA Revival, you're really missing out. You owe it to yourself, your family, and your overall health to try this product. You can't lose. It funds the operation, and we know it really works. Here's some of the known effects this compound delivers. Noticeable all-day energy without stimulants or crashes. Faster recovery and greater endurance. Sharper focus and mental clarity. Support for healthy blood sugar levels already in the normal range. Stronger immune function. Enhanced liver health and natural detoxification. Reduced everyday stress, anxiety, and protection against oxidative stress and the visible signs of aging. And it just gets better from there. Ultra DNA Revival is the newest addition to thealexjonesstore.com, and we're extremely excited about it. If I could get a racehorse that had just won the Triple Crown and run it the next few races, I'd do it. It's that simple. And that's what I've done. If I could get Tom Brady at his peak to be my quarterback, I would. Well, that's how private labeling works. We go out to the top firms, the highest ratings, the best customer reviews, and we simply say, can we private label it? And in every case, they say, yeah, we can private label it. So it's not like we're reinventing the wheel. Whatever is the hottest, best reviews that people love, we go out and we get it. So when you get it, you love it. Well, that's what Ultra DNA Revival is all about. It's a private label, a best-selling brand that is simply amazing. You can empower your body, your immune system, your health, your clarity, your libido, your focus, and literally clean out your cells while at the same time funding this operation in the face of the globalists. That, my friends, is a 360 win at thealexjonesstore.com.
The bat phone is ringing off the hook. The Joker is at it again.
Quick, Robin. We must analyze this threat. Do you have a location on the Joker, Robin?
Yes, he's at the abandoned warehouse on 5th Street.
I'm sick of that Newsom Joker. He's going down, Robin!
Blast you, Bat Brain! Must you ruin every rib-tickling riddle I concoct?
He thought he was going to get away with all of that Ultra DNA Revival!
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal. All right, we're halfway through the second hour of the program. Excited that you're all joining us today, of course. A lot that we still haven't been able to kind of dig through, specifically the J6 pipe bomber story. I'll bring the latest on that in just a moment. In the meantime, though, we will be taking your calls in the third hour of the program. So give us a call if you'd like to discuss any of the topics we've discussed thus far. That's 877-789-2539. 877-789-2539. Let's keep those topics relevant to the topics we've discussed thus far. Yesterday we had some callers on the line we didn't get to because some of the calls went long. So I want to try to get to everyone. So again, 877-789-2539. Okay, so let's talk about the pipe bomber, the suspect. This individual, Brian Cole Jr., has officially been charged with the explosive devices that were left behind, allegedly, around the RNC and the DNC. Now, according to CNN, that is a white guy, but Thankfully, you have your own eyes, of course. It was very interesting to sit back and watch because, again, 5 years? I mean, I don't know what the explanation for this all is. It took a very long time to get to the bottom of this. And when you read the criminal complaint, well, it sounds like they should have had this in the bag, if this is true, within a couple of months. So what the heck happened here? Well, I want to turn to clip 15 because the Attorney General Pam Bondi says that the tip received, which they said brought them to the suspect, it wasn't a new tip. Take a listen.
Thank you so much. So any theory on why Kamala Harris has never mentioned coming within 20 feet of being assassinated, and any news on why her Secret Service team took so long to find this bomb at the DNC?
No, but what I will tell you is that evidence has been sitting there collecting dust. This wasn't a new tip. It wasn't some new evidence. It was the hard work of President Trump's administration, Deputy Director Bongino and Director Patel. I watched them from day one come in here and say, we are going to solve this crime. And they did, working hand in hand with U.S. Attorney Pirro and all of our great attorneys.
Okay, so they claim that they have caught the J6 pipe bomber. I don't know if this is a slam dunk, but I'm no great legal mind, but joining us is one. Please welcome to the show, Joseph McBride. He is a criminal defense attorney, trial lawyer, and overall patriot. And I look forward to hearing his take on all of this, because I know McBride has been following this story, of course, for many, many years now. It's good to have you on, my friend. I just kind of want to get your take to start this off with this criminal complaint. What are your thoughts on it thus far?
It doesn't feel right to me. It feels like a load of crap. I am not buying what they're selling at all. Look, the idea that they had this information for 5 years and they sat on it, it was in some dusty room somewhere, and they just came upon it now after the Blaze put out their story, it stinks to high heaven. I don't believe it. I don't trust the government. I certainly don't trust the FBI. This FBI team, the Department of Justice, has not delivered on its promises to the American people. This feels like, I don't know what to call it, Brianna. It doesn't feel real. It doesn't feel right. The idea that they have somebody who looks like this guy, walks like this guy, talks like this guy, who doesn't fit the model that everybody thought the pipe bomber was going to fit, that this guy was just sitting there on the shelf the entire time, is absolute nonsense. It doesn't make any sense to me at all. And, I'm interested to see what it says, to see what comes out. But this is what we do know. We know that there's the principle of cause and effect. Whether or not the Blaze got it right or got it wrong, the Blaze provoked the Department of Justice and the FBI to do whatever it needed to do to either find this guy or come up with this information. The timing is off. My gut is off about it. I go on my gut on everything in life, and I disobey my gut. I pay dearly for it. So I'm going to stick with my gut until I see more evidence indicating that this is actually what they claim it to be, because right now none of this feels right. None of it feels right at all.
Yeah, McBride, I actually did challenge a little bit of this because I read this criminal complaint, although this might be good as like additional evidence to seal the deal. This doesn't feel like a slam dunk at all. It just feels like, okay, they were in the area at the time based on their cell phone records. If I wanted to pin something on someone, maybe you could use that as an excuse. You could take their phone somewhere to pin them in the air. I mean, it's not a slam dunk for me. The conspiracy theories in my own head kind of go off. And I asked the FBI specifically those questions as to, is there more here? They said to me specifically that there's more evidence. I said, how did you even get to this guy to even know to look at his financial records to dig into all of this? They said, we'll learn more over the next couple of days, and especially when he does make his first criminal appearance in court, which is expected later this afternoon. So I look forward to seeing that. But you know, when Steve Baker and the Blaze released their report as to who they suspected was the pipe bomber, I reached out to a bunch of people, and someone high up in national intelligence did tell me that they were briefed recently by the FBI, and the FBI did not name the suspect that they named, the Blaze named. The FBI had a person in mind, and it wasn't what the Blaze named. So here's my thought on this. If they knew who the suspect was, and you're familiar with FBI investigations, obviously, looking at them and defending people in court against them, why would it have taken weeks for them to even make this arrest in the first place?
There's no good answer for it. Mm-hmm. Again, none of it adds up. Look, the guys who went to the Capitol on January 6th, the amount of information that was obtained that day for people who went there is unprecedented in any investigation in the history of this country. January 6th is the largest and most expensive, comprehensive investigation in the history of the United States of America. That is not hyperbole. That is a factual statement. They should have bank records. They should have his phone pinging in wherever he was. They should be able to locate him. They should have his social media records, and they should have 5 years of history after that. What did he do? Where did he go? Who did he speak to? What did he post about? So on and so forth. My understanding from the articles that I've read is that his family is denying it. You have a mother or a grandmother who's denying it, saying that, you know, he's a quiet guy. He's not really into politics, and there's no way he did things like this. So sometimes in these situations, you have a parent going, yeah, my child, there's something off about him. And we were wondering, this is not one of those situations. The family appears to be taking up for him, right? So we don't know enough, yet. So right now, this isn't much different than the Blaze story. What I can say is that I've worked on these cases personally for a very long time with all types of people, and at not any point in time did the government ever work with us, ever try to help us. They did nothing but try to hurt us, obstruct us, and thwart our investigations. We had to put together puzzle pieces that took months and years to do. Sometimes you get it wrong. Sometimes you get it right. But I give my credit to the people at the Blaze, whether they got it right or whether they got it wrong. It was a good faith, patriotic effort to do the right thing, because the FBI up until that point had done squat, had done nil, nada, zilch, nothing for 5 years. So the fact that we have something now, again, it's the principle of cause and effect. Now, this individual who's been charged is innocent until proven guilty. He has a right to a fair trial. He has a right to competent representation, and he has a right to defend himself. And if the FBI gets this wrong, then they'll have egg on their face. But the idea that this guy just got conjured up out of thin air, some dusty file that was sitting on a shelf somewhere, and all of a sudden they found it through their hard work, it's a load of crap. It's insulting to the American people. It's insulting to anybody who practiced law for a long time, to anybody who knows anything about investigating crimes or investigating anything like this. And we have to see what they say. But I, my skepticism and my healthy dose of distrust in our government, so a principle that our founding fathers shared with us, is at an all-time high. And, you know, I won't believe anything about this guy until it's proven in court. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be rooting for this guy. I'm going to be rooting for this guy against the FBI, because that's how much I don't believe it. And if he goes down, then he goes down. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I want to see more evidence. I want to see what else they have, because all of this just feels like... I mean, I know what the FBI, I know what these three-letter agencies are capable of doing to people. I've seen it time and time again. You know, I've spoken with Cheryl Atkinson. Another one is another great example. She was working on a bombshell report that embarrassed the Obama administration. And then a whistleblower told her to be careful because the federal government was looking to plant child pornography on her husband's device. And they were in the process of doing that. And so I know what they do. And I'm not going to sit here and pretend like this is a slam dunk. I need to see more evidence to really sell me on this. And I'm sure even if they were to bring this in front of a jury in D.C., I don't see them getting a conviction on this at all right now. And, you know, by the way, while before we went to air with you, CNN just actually released a report saying that they believe that this person told the FBI, Cole, the suspect, told the FBI that he didn't believe in the 2020 election results. And so they're trying now, obviously, to make it appear like maybe there's a right-wing angle to all of this, CNN is at least. But keep in mind, there was about, I think it was 50% of Democrats also didn't believe that Joe Biden won the election either. So although they worked aggressively hard to make it a right-wing issue, it was actually something that was very bipartisan. But I wanted to turn to a clip of Dan Bongino yesterday, because they're all doing the victory lap right now. So Dan Bongino, deputy director of the FBI, did make an appearance yesterday on Fox News and was asked about why the previous administration didn't solve this case sooner. Take a listen.
Is you did not find any new evidence. It was all there, had been there for the longest period of time. The only difference between you and Director Wray and the Biden DOJ is they did not prioritize it. Why? And I know it wasn't easy to solve, but you did it in 8 months.
Yeah. Sean, I don't know what the hell this prior leadership team was doing outside of, you know, targeting political opponents, weaponizing the FBI, destroying its reputation, embarrassing agents that are doing really good work out there catching terrorists, CCP spies and everyone else. It's almost like they were intentionally trying to decimate faith in institutions. It's horrifying. I don't know what they were doing. I can tell you what happened, though, when we got there, the director and I. My first meeting, I swore in, and I kid you not, probably 15 minutes later, and the people who are in the meeting know, I said, when I get in there, I want a full brief on this pipe bomber case on day one. And I looked at the case agent after getting a full brief on what they'd done, and they had done some a pretty extensive amount of work. They had chased down, I think, thousands of leads. 6,000-plus interviews had been conducted, hundreds of tips, and it still was relatively stale, the case. And I grabbed the case agent on the way out, and I said, you're going to get me this guy. You're going to track this guy down, and you're going to find him. You're going to get me this guy. I want him. And that started what's been almost a 9-month operation right now to
all
make
right,
sure
I want to step
that
in on this because obviously Bongi, you know, touting his own work there. We heard that clearly, obviously. But he outlines the fact that he's very aware that the previous administration was doing a lot of weaponization things behind the scenes. They were going after people, obviously. But there haven't been any arrests. There hasn't been anything meaningful. I mean, this is obviously great. If this is the suspect, the pipe bomber, this is great news. But this is very, very late in the game, like you mentioned. It comes after the blaze broke, who they suspected was the person in all of this, responsible for this. But he's talking about what they did behind the scenes. How come we still haven't seen any major arrests in that sense?
It's a load of crap, man. That is acting. That is, what is he, Clint Eastwood? I pulled the guy aside and I said, I want you to get this guy. And he got, get the hell out of here, bro. What do you take me for? This is nonsense. None of this adds up.
Yeah.
Okay. Nothing adds up about Thomas Crooks. Nothing adds up about the pipe bomber. The good people like you, good journalists out there, good lawyers out there, the American public were putting pressure on the FBI to perform. That's a great thing. But the idea that they're out there, you know, kicking ass and taking names and the posse is out there rounding up people and bringing them inside and they're all being prosecuted for the people who are in that administration and all the horrible things they've done. It's a load of garbage. Look, if this is the guy, and at the end of the day, if they prosecute this guy and he's convicted beyond a reasonable doubt and the evidence demonstrates to the court and to the public that this is him, well, then God bless America. That's a good day. Until that day comes, Dan Bongino, I'm sorry to say, I think you're a great guy. I'm not buying what you're selling. I like you much more as a podcaster. I'm not feeling the whole FBI thing at all. And none of this feels real to me. I think anybody with their spidey senses who are looking at the situation, just like people looked at the election and they said, you know, I don't have all the facts, but I know the election was stolen. I know in my gut and I know in my heart of hearts that we got robbed. I feel the same exact way about all this nonsense. So until they prove it up, you know, going on Fox News and talking to Sean Hannity, and oh yeah, we did it. And you know, I pulled him aside. Do this for your country, kid. You know, make us all proud. Get the hell out of here. I'm not buying it at all. None of it makes sense. We need information, we need facts, we need convictions. Until then, I mean, you can put that in your pipe and smoke it. I don't even want to hear about it. It's nonsense.
Well, and since we're on the topic of nonsense, I was really fired up this week when I saw that he put this tweet out about our own Miranda Devine. Now, I say our own because I think Miranda Devine has proven time and time again that she's an absolute patriot. She was one of the only people who were brave enough to bring us the Hunter Biden laptop story. In fact, I know personal background that it was punted at Fox and then the New York Post took it because I was told by sources that she applied a lot of pressure for the Post to run it. And then you have Dan Bongino referring to Devine, who's highly respected as a deep state divine is the nickname he's given her in all of this, all because of a report that she put out with people who worked for the FBI, who supported this new leadership change and want them to particularly to go out there and to reform the agency. Now, they've given forward a report, I believe it's like 119 pages, of their assessment on the job that's been done so far about Dan Bongino and Cash Patel, what they've done so far at the agency. And the interesting point to this is one of the major, major things is they're calling out people like the deputy director for caring more about social media posts rather than going and getting to the crux of this job and going into there to actually do the uprooting of the corruption issues. And then Dan, I guess, proves Miranda's reporting, right? And just goes out there and calls her a deep state divine and then attacks her reporting because he cares more about social media than presenting the facts. I mean, to be fair, McBride, I've continuously reached out about personnel matters, people who are being fired. At least give me a number of how many people have been fired who you've linked to a lot of these weaponization events that were taking place under the Biden regime, and they can't give me anything. I'm not asking for names. Give me numbers. So while they're sitting there and telling you that there's people who are trying to advocate for the old guard, and they're against the new reforms that have been made. I mean, why the heck can't you just give us some information about the new reforms being made? Because we're not seeing anything.
First off, Dan Bongino should issue an apology, a formal apology to Miranda Devine. Calling Miranda Devine deep state divine is absolutely ridiculous. That's like calling Trump the deep state. It makes no sense. First off, when it comes to January 6th stuff, she was the first mainstream journalist at the New York Post, the first member of the mainstream media to cover it, right? She wrote an article about work I was doing back in January or February of 2021. I mean, that's how early and how courageous she was when it comes to this stuff. And then there's the laptop from hell. There's the Hunter Biden story. There's the fact that she took on the intelligence community internationally when she went after Hunter Biden, put herself at great risk. She was celebrated by everybody on the right. She continues to be celebrated by everybody for her good work, including Dan Bongino. The fact that he's now calling her deep state divine, and he's not saying that as a podcaster. He's saying that as somebody who's a part of the upper echelon of the FBI, the federal government. It is absolutely ridiculous. It is preposterous. It is wrong. It is filthy. He should never, ever say something like that. Dan Bongino, you're not a private citizen anymore. You work for me. You work for Brianna Murillo. You work for Miranda Devine. You work for the American public. You are funded and you are paid by the American taxpayer. And by virtue of your post, you need to endure and you need to understand and you need to welcome criticism and skepticism that comes from the American public, especially well-thought-out journalists who are a minority in today's world. The fact that you're calling her deep state divine is disgusting. And when you leave your post and you come back to the podcast world, you know, I look forward to debating you on the issue. I look forward to having a conversation with you on the issue, whatever it's going to be. But you need to apologize about it because what you did is wrong. And you're not doing it as a private citizen. You're doing it as a member of the federal government. It's absolutely ridiculous. It shatters his credibility as a man. It shatters his credibility as a podcaster. It shatters his credibility as a member of the American right, which again, and now all of a sudden they have this case that makes all this other bad crap go away. I'm not buying any of this at all, Brianna. I don't like it. It stinks to high heaven. I don't trust it. And again, we have to see what happens. I think there's just been an unprecedented level of incompetence. These people have laid down and done nothing. And all of a sudden, when their back is up against the wall, they come up with a dusty file in a room. So, man, we got the guy. Nah, doesn't work like that. It's not reality.
Yeah, and the burn bag story, there's more there that we're going to learn more about in the time coming because they continue to go, oh, there's burn bags left in a closet space, but they won't tell you how they got to the burn bags. They won't tell you who the source of that was and what happened to that source afterwards. And you know, we're still digging into that. But this is what they do. They continuously go out there, McBride, and they continue to just poke and poke. And people who are brave enough to come forward and who don't want these exclusives handed to them directly, like so many other outlets like the Fox Newses of the world do, who actually speak and who actually speak against the machine, the FBI machine still, which Miranda Devine is doing, they attack her. And I think it's an absolute disgrace because she's so well-respected. In fact, the administration respects her enough that so many people, key people, sit down with her, including the president, and do have discussions with her. So it's an absolute disgrace, of course. I want to turn to, while we still have time, Tish James, because you know the reports yesterday that a federal grand jury in Virginia has rejected filing charges against her. This is interesting, given the fact that obviously the original charges were dismissed. What's the status of all of this? Because if a grand jury, in fact, does reject possibly indicting her, can we still wait and maybe hold off for like the appeals process on the dismissal originally?
No, it's over. She won. It's a wrap. Look, President Trump is a lot of things. He's a lot of great things. He's a good businessman. He's a great executive. Mm-hmm. When it comes to tariffs, when it comes to the economy, when it comes to foreign relations, he's spot on. One of his weak spots, in my humble opinion, is the legal counsel that he's appointed, the lawyers who surround him, the lawyers who are at the DOJ, the lawyers who are at other places. When he was defending the election lawsuits or whether he's prosecuting these suits now, they're not getting their job done. Lawyers are judged on their results. Lawyers are judged on their ability to advocate, their ability to put up a good fight, and their results. And you have to understand, when you're going into like a court like D.C. or New York or certain parts of Virginia, you're going to have to deal with the judges there. You're going to have to deal with the system there. And unless your case is airtight, you're going to lose because the court is stacked against you. One of the things about President Obama, Barack Obama, who went before obviously President Trump, was he was a lawyer. He was a well-thought-out lawyer, and he appointed people to the bench all over the bench that are still affecting the what's going on right now, right? These are Obama-appointed judges that are repeatedly shooting down what President Trump is trying to accomplish, right? This stuff has been happening. The legal team knows this. They're going in. Sometimes there's people who haven't been appointed. Or they've been appointed, but they haven't been confirmed by the Senate. They're being challenged, and rightfully so. There are other times where they're going in half-cocked, and they don't have all the facts. These are not cases by social media or the court of public opinion. These are cases in a court of law where you have to prove up the charges even to get an indictment. It's harder for a right-leaning cause or a right-leaning prosecution objectively to get an indictment, to get a case to trial and to win trial at any of these courts. We're seeing that. I think President Trump is the greatest president that certainly of my lifetime, maybe the greatest president that the United States has ever had. But I do think that one of his weak spots is when it comes to the lawyers that he's appointed and that he has surrounding him. So, this is another failure. We're seeing these failures all over the place. And, I don't think that it's going to get any better. I hope that President Trump focuses on what's really important when it comes to the legal process, and that's getting as many judges as he possibly can on the bench.
Yeah, McBride, that needs to be a top priority because we continuously have these issues. And I know that's his priority personally, but it's the people behind the scenes who I don't think are carrying out his agenda appropriately. So we'll continue to see. I know Cash Patel yesterday during interviews, the FBI director, giving some type of hints that it's not completely over yet, but it seems pretty much like that one is dead on arrival at this point. McBride, thank you for all the incredible work that you do. And of course, joining us to give us your perspective on all of this, give him a follow on X, McBride Law NYC. That's McBride Law NYC. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Brianna. Have a nice day.
You as well. All right, folks, we are taking your call in the next segment of the program. Give me a call, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. Maybe you like Pierce Morgan and you don't like my take on all of this and you want to debate me on Pierce Morgan being a patriot. Give us a call. We could talk about it. We could hash things out. I know a lot of you guys are on the lines right now want to talk the J6 pipe bomber story as well. So we'll get to your calls in just a little bit. In the meantime, though, if you haven't done so already, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com because right now we've got a couple hours left in this contest to win a couple of really cool rides. You could win a Jeep 392 as well as a 2025 Ford Raptor. And if that's not good enough, we're also going to throw in potentially $20,000. Every purchase gets you about 50 times the entries that we normally do give out for all of this. So your odds of winning go drastically up. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. As if that wasn't a reason enough, we're also doing buy one, get one free on all supplements right now over at the shop. Again, buy one, get one free. That's only going to be lasting another couple of hours, so don't put this off. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. This is an incredible sale, incredible opportunity, of course, to win two sick rides and a lot of cash over at thealexjonesstore.com. More ahead.
Quick, I just wanted to plug the Methylene Blue. I'm a new supplement buyer from Alex Jones Store, and I keep hearing people talking about the Methylene Blue, and I'm like, you know what? I don't know what the hype is all about, but I definitely want to try it. And what I noticed is I didn't get the sensations that a lot of the other people said that they got, you know, like the tingling fingers and like this, you know, euphoria. But I do have an ample amount of energy, and I'm disabled, so I'm a housewife, and whenever you're at home day in and day out, 7 days a week, it really tends to drag after some time. And there were things that I wasn't doing around the house that I should have. But now I'm getting things done like really quick. I have all this extra time on my hands now. And I really think it's the methylene blue that's been giving me the energy. And it's so funny because now, like, my silly husband's calling me a meth head, which is hilarious. But, yeah, so I'm going to stick on that. And I actually have some bovine coming in today, so I can't wait to try that out. I'm also going to give that to my dog because, you know, it's a lot of help, too. And I brought online that's really good for your dog if you give them, like, a small little amount of the food. So I'm going to do that. But yeah, I just thought I would tell you guys about my experience with this park. So,
well, Jen, thank you. That's amazing to hear. I mean, love to hear that, honestly. I mean, that's the reason why Alex has created the shop, so people can get, you know, get healthier and not be relying on big pharmaceutical companies, but instead take control of their health. So that's good to hear. You know, I fluctuated weight wise too. And so, finding something that works is really important, and not to get hooked on those like high caffeine, insane chemicals, energy drinks, which so much of us have relied on over the years. I literally was getting anxiety from one of them. And so I too am on the blue these days. So I guess your husband would call me a meth head, but, it's good to hear from you, Jen. I love it. I think it's great. And I love to hear from you as well. Journal. We're excited you're all joining us as we get ready to kick off the third hour of the program. Time really flies by over here, probably because there's a lot of stories to dig into, corruption to call out, and, you know, people to go after these days. But it's been a good start to the program. We're going to be taking your calls in the, I guess, say about 5 minutes. We'll start taking calls. So if you haven't done so already and you want to sound off on a subject matter, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. That is the line you're going to want to call. Maybe you like Pierce Morgan. You don't like me going after Pierce. Call. Tell us. Put your name on it. Bet you won't. Bet you won't. Folks, we'll be doing that in just a little bit. Plus, Mel Kay is also going to be joining me in the second half of the hour. Mel's got a lot to sound off on. She's writing a book about the CIA, which I know you're all probably really excited about. And so when I saw that story come up regarding that horrific terror attack that took place in D.C., Islamic terror attack, because he's accused of, you know, screaming out about his God right after he goes and shoots two guardsmen in the head. For some reason, no one's saying the word Islam when they talk about that. Actually, Laura Loomer making that a great point when she was going around the Pentagon talking to officials. Twice I was there when she was grilling them about refusal to say the word Islamic terror attack when describing this and describing other terrorist attacks as well. She was doing a good job over there, but there's a whole CIA angle to this suspect, who has since been arrested, obviously, for that murder and for attempted murder. And so I want to hear what she has to say about the Zero Unit program as well, because she's someone obviously doing a lot of digging into this for her book. She's studied it, followed it for years now. And so it'll be good to have her on to talk about just that. Plus, I want her take on the FBI, because obviously, yes, they've just now officially arrested a suspect who they accuse of being the J6 pipe bomber. They've told us before in the past that they had a suspect in custody, remember, for the Charlie Kirk assassination, and it in fact wasn't the individual, that coming from the highest person at the FBI, the director at the time. So I'm not going to really buy it. I'm going to wait and see. I'm going to hold out until we see some actual physical evidence here, because I know if the government wants to come after you and plant some evidence, well, they can. They can. And so we'll be talking to Mel Kay about that too, because I'm sure she's got a lot to sound off on that front. So you're going to want to be here for that. Of course, again, we're taking your calls in the second portion. Well, I guess not even second portion, the third portion of the show. So in about 4 minutes, we'll be diving into some callers, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. I need like a jingle for this one. I do. If you haven't done so already too, and you want to stay in touch with us, because folks are doing their very best to try to shut the doors here at InfoWars. We've already created an outline, a plan for all of you to follow us onto our next venture in case that happens. The best way to be a part of that, of course, is by downloading the app. Head on over to alexjonesapp.com. That's alexjonesapp.com. That is how you stay in touch with us. And how they can't, they'll try. They'll try their very best to stop this information war, but of course we will continue to deliver as we always do. So if you haven't downloaded the app, I'd highly recommend you do just that right now. All right, I got my eye on a couple of stories. We're following them. I'm looking at all the updates coming in about the J6 pipe bomber, the suspect involved in all of this. The FBI sources telling CNN that this individual was someone who doubted the election results. No, seriously, that's what they're saying now. They're trying to claim that this was possibly an election denier. Now, I don't know about you, but I remember there was a poll that came out that like 50% of individuals truly believed that the election was stolen in 2020. It wasn't just us far righters, they like to call it, those in the fringe movement. No, a lot of Democrats didn't believe the results either, probably because they paid attention. Now, like, how does a guy who campaigned from his basement somehow make his way to a landslide victory, in fact, beating Barack Obama when it came to votes, the particular number, having so much outpouring of support that he somehow was able to beat Obama? Yeah, most people with common sense who had two eyes and a functioning brain saw right through that, and they asked the important questions that were shut down. They were shut down. So CNN over here regurgitating probably the nonsense being spewed by a lefty over at the FBI, if they didn't make up that source at all, of course, because it's anonymous. All right, folks, we got a lot more to do in just a few moments. Don't go anywhere. We're taking your calls, 877-789-2539. 877-789-2539. Give me a call. There's something you want to chat about.
But hey, I'm backed by you. I'm not backed by the left or Soros or the New World Order or the whoever's. I'm backed by you at theolicenshore.com, and we have the 12 Days of Christmas sale. It is buy any supplement and get any other supplement free. That means you can buy a $20 supplement and get a $45 supplement free. Unprecedented deal. So take advantage of that right now. Get the ultramethylene blue, get the Shilajit, get the Irish Sea Moss, get the bovine colostrum. It's all there. Thealexjonesstore.com. I want to thank you all for your incredible support.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing, and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalists. Get ultramethylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We are here in the third hour of the program, and we're excited that you're all joining us. Of course, a lot we've been going over the last, I don't know, two hours, so much exposing of the corruption, the lies, the potential lies that are being fed to us. I don't know what to believe these days when it comes to our FBI. I'm still extremely doubtful. They haven't won back my respect, and I'm sure for the rest of you, they haven't done the same. But we're going to take some calls. So if you haven't done so already, give us a call, 877-789-2539. I'm going to be working my way from the top down of the caller list. First up on our call list is Josh in Indiana. Josh, welcome to the show.
Hey, Brianna. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
So doing well. So I was the last caller yesterday.
Oh, sorry.
And I got through, and I talked to you.
Oh.
So what I was talking about was, I said, hey, if this is all coming out to be true, then your sources would be correct, and then the Blaze would be wrong. I wasn't trying to put you in a position to, like, say, hey, your sources were right, they were wrong, because we're all on the same team here, obviously.
Yeah.
So, but what I was getting at is that I truly, truly fear for the Blaze and Kyle.
Yeah.
If they try to push this narrative that this guy is supposedly the bomber, you know, the pipe bomber, mm-hmm. then they're going to most certainly go after the Blaze and some type of lawsuit. And they're going to try to tie it all in to make it look like, hey, this is the guy. See, they were wrong. And then they're going to just do the same old playbook over and over and over. I don't understand. But I was wanting to clarify, like, I wasn't trying to put you in a position to defend your sources.
No, I didn't even take it that way. Josh, thank you for calling too. I didn't even take it that way. You know, I love Steve. And like I told you yesterday, I mean, I literally was there when he was arrested, when they dragged him in, the DOJ under Joe Biden dragged him into court and had his wrists, were shackled as well as his ankles. And they dragged him in a line with actual drug dealers or alleged drug dealers, I should say. One was accused, I believe, of like cooking a crack in his home. It was a lot. So, you know, that's my guy. I love him to pieces. And Kyle, when Kyle first came forward, was somebody who I became friends with pretty quickly. And I respected his honesty on a lot of these issues. And so, yeah, I mean, we're going to see. I, like, you know, Josh, I don't understand. I'll let you kind of answer this too. they've definitely had this information before. Because when I was talking to my sources the day that the story was released and the woman was named, everyone was really upset with me for not wanting to say her name and for me following up on comment and stuff. But I learned from one of my sources that they had been briefed previously about where their investigation into the J6 pipe bomber stood, and that they were told that there was another suspect they had in mind. They named this person. This person wasn't the woman that was named by the Blaze. So, I mean, Josh, my thing is this. If they knew this, because I know Steve reached out to the FBI for comment, and he knew he was going to release this story, why didn't they make this arrest sooner? Then if it is true that an innocent woman wasn't openly accused of all of this. I mean, the FBI knew the story was coming. Steve reached out before he dropped the story. It just seems quite strange, doesn't it?
The irony is rich, because even you yesterday, whenever you were talking at the end, you were like, this doesn't pass the smell test. Like, immediately everybody was like, wait a minute. So I truly believe there's more to this story. I think it comes down to a personal rub between the upper echelon and Kyle Saffron and the Blaze and then this other guy that Cash Patel and his girlfriend are suing. Like, what is going on? Like, I was all Team Cash for a long time, but I truly feel like we've been infiltrated. Like, this is insane. But it's not lost upon us that are paying attention that, and he gave them a fair warning that he was going to go out with the story, and they still, didn't confirm or deny. And then a week later, they arrest this guy that I feel like everybody knows is not the person.
Yeah. Yeah. And on top of it, I mean, Tucker Carlson got it first, that exclusive about Thomas Crooks. When he reached out for comments before running that story, the FBI responded by saying, well, how do you know these social media posts really do belong to Crooks or that they're authentic, was their statement. And when I reached out before I released the screenshots that I also had, that Tucker had, as well as Miranda Devine, they ignored me. And then they put out a statement saying that trying to correct the false media reporting was their angle to it. So they are intentionally creating a lack of confidence in their own agency, allowing us to put out the information first, break these stories, and then they're chasing us. I mean, the reality of it is they should have arrested this individual sooner. I get it. They've only been in for a couple of months. But, I mean, we're talking, 8 months now? Dan saying and confirming the deputy director that this was a top issue, and yet here we are. So, yeah, Josh, I think you're spot on. I truly do, and I appreciate you calling back into the show again. So thank you for doing that. We'll continue to dig into that. I know there's a lot of people that want to talk pipe bomber as well. So we'll go to Savage Dog next in Georgia. Savage Dog, welcome back, my friend. How are you?
Hey, good morning. How are you doing? I'm blessed.
Same here, my friend. Same here. What's going on?
Well, I just want to – I don't think Mr. McBride mentioned this. Let's just assume this is the guy.
Yeah.
I personally think he's Ferde Scheisse, which is – German for horse poop. but just if it is correct, right?
Yeah.
Let's keep an eye on, and maybe some journalists who are listening or somebody can ask the FBI guys, who was he talking to on his cell phone? Who was he texting? Because, you know, we got Crooks who was all over his phone. Oh, but he didn't have any social media. He did. And he was talking to people that day. No release of who he was talking to. It's just a closed case. Lone wolf, he did it. All right. Well, same with this guy, right? I mean, he's waving the Capitol freaking police on the road. Like, hey, bro, how you doing? I'm just out here doing my thing. And they're like, yeah, Roger that. We know. Who's he talking to? Who is really in charge? This guy didn't just go off on his own. No matter what narrative they're trying to spin about, well, he believed that the election was stolen. It don't matter. Who's telling him to do this? He was 24 at the time? Yeah, no, 24-year-old's not going to go out and try to pipe bomb, you know, the DNC, RNC, Black Caucus, whoever he was going after.
Yeah.
Whoever was going after, I should say. He's not acting alone.
Yeah.
So quit blowing smoke up our buttocks and let's get some answers. Give us answers. Quit quit going to see your girlfriend's freaking American Idol premiere. I don't care. Nobody cares. Give us answers. Or, you know, either that or we can just put this Missouri AG in and you can go home and spend time with your old lady. I really don't care. One or the other, make it happen.
Yeah, I know. Well, I keep saying this, but I think Cash Patel's a weirdo. I endorse him obviously for this position, but the fact that he keeps calling his girlfriend his life partner kind of gives me the creepers, because he is supposed to be a heterosexual man who has not yet proposed to this woman. And he continues to go out there and say that she is his life partner, but won't lock it down. It's kind of weird to me. Also, given their background, too, like, Indians don't do that stuff. They quickly get wiped up, and you go off and you have a bunch of babies. So, I don't know. He's a weirdo to me. There's not much I trust about this guy. I liked him for this role, but I'm kind of eating my own endorsement these days, and I am quite embarrassed that I was so strong on this issue.
Brianne, I'll do you one better.
Mm-hmm.
Look at his eyes. Any psychiatrist will tell you, you see the upper whites of their eyes, they're insane.
Yeah.
Run away. I mean, like the chart says, you know, they're doing this and this and this and this. But if you see the upper whites of their eyes constantly, the advice is run. All right. I don't believe that he's even sane.
Yeah.
Let alone, you know what? And, you know, y'all want to kick my door open? Hey, FBI, go ahead. I don't care. Do what you got to do. But I really sincerely think that, you know, everybody's talking about, you know, Bongino, I trust. But I do think that he's being forced to act the way he acts.
Yeah.
Not an excuse if you're, you know, you're a Secret Service agent. You're trained not to give a shiza about, you know, about threats. And, you know, you got a job to do and you signed up to do the job.
Yeah.
Not what if. So can we get rid of Blanche, Bongino, freaking Blondie, and I mean, and I don't know, maybe, or Patel, and let Bongino run it. I mean, maybe he's just being buried. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I do know that this whole arrest of this little black kid, I don't buy it.
No, he's not black. He's white. Don't you listen to Jake Tapper?
Oh,
gosh.
Yeah.
This is a white kid.
That was my deal. Yeah, I said that this Clayton Bigsby, I don't know if you caught that reference. It was Dave Chappelle's first episode, The Black White Supremacist.
You got to love it. You got to love it. Thanks for calling, Savage Dog. I appreciate it as always. We appreciate your insight, your views, your opinion. And thank you for being here. All right, let's turn to Bart in Georgia. We'll keep things in Georgia. Bart, welcome to the show. Bart in Georgia. You with us? All right, let's go to Tim in Seattle. Tim, what is on your mind, Tim?
Yeah, the whole uniparty distraction thing with the J6 bomber. Again, they could have arrested him for a while. They presented somebody that we think would be somewhat, you know, it seemed like a psychological person to have the right-wing base kind of fix into and sink her teeth into it. With all the identity politics that's going on. But ultimately, I just think it's a huge, huge, huge distraction. And the biggest distraction, I think, it's from the Genesis mission that Trump just announced. And I don't hear InfoWars talking about it at all. You claim to have your ear to the rail and you know what's coming down, but I haven't heard you talk about it at all. I haven't heard Alex. I haven't heard Harrison talk about it. What's going on? The Genesis mission is insane. I mean, it's data centralization. It's a security mission creep. There's zero oversight, and it ties in all the private sectors. It's literally going to be a technocracy. And I don't hear the tip of the spear talking about it. I'm concerned. I think you guys might be running out the clock. Is it possible that the aura of Trump is so intoxicating that none of us can see what's going on around us, and we would just rather as if just glad hand ourselves and think that it'll be fine as long as we keep believing in that one dude? I don't know, but I'm getting nervous.
Yeah, well, you're referring to an executive order that I believe was signed on November 24th, it looks like. So relatively recent. Now, obviously, we do have our eyes everywhere. And when it comes to technocracy or all of that, we talk about it often, quite often, with Mel Kay. Now, thank you for putting this as a topic of discussion. We could probably ask Mel Kay about it, but again, I mean, no one's trying to help run out the clock as if we're trying to spin and participate in the narrative spin. There's a lot going on in the world, So again, that coming out November 24th. So we could definitely do digging into this and have Mel Kay react to it. That's kind of her beat these days. So thank you, Tim, for jumping on the calls, of course. All right, let's turn to Alex in North Virginia. Alex.
Good morning, Brianna.
Good morning. How are you?
I am fine. Please, next time you're out here in D.C., please let me know so I can cook some empanadas for you. Go pick you up by IYC 28, plain spring love. Okay?
I do love empanadas.
Okay, so my call. I have a source, and the source works inside the Inspector General, the Department of Defense. And they are expecting, I will say his name is Shark Smelly, part of the Seditious Six. I won't say his name all the way outright, but because my source has stated that because of his rank in the military and the freedom of speech mm-hmm. does not go for him because he knew exactly what he was doing. So they're expecting his name to jump across the spreadsheet so they can investigate him within the next week and a half to 2 weeks. They're expecting it. They're expecting his name to pop across so they can investigate him. And once they finish their investigation and send it, that's when the charges will come in.
Yeah.
So now the website to check that out is dodig.mil. That's Department of Defense, Office of Inspector General. My source also said to please constantly check that to check other investigations that they're currently in. But they're definitely expecting him, his name, to pop across their spreadsheet so they can investigate him.
Yeah.
Number two. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No. So you're thinking, when I was at the Pentagon, they were dropping names all around. So I mean, I definitely could guess a little bit, but I'll spare you for right now. So what's your second topic?
I didn't want to say Mark Kelly. So the second topic is that for my same source, I wanted to play something for them, and so I played the Pam Bondi yesterday announcing that they got this guy in Woodbridge, mm-hmm. which is BS because I live 25 minutes away from Woodbridge and that address wasn't those houses right there is not even Woodbridge, that's Lake Ridge, but that's another story. And I played it for him, and within 1 minute, they stopped it and said, "She's lying." I said, "How do you know?" "Oh, she's stuttering," which I already knew. I'm like, once, you know, a stammering lips proves to be a liar. And Bondi was stammering left and right yesterday. Couldn't get a good word every four words out without stuttering over it. My source said, "Pam Bondi's lying." And then I played the clip of Cash Patel and Bongino several months ago. Source said they were lying. So they're expecting investigations to come through. Cash Patel needs to get gone. They need to get rid of him. President Trump just put out the warning that should they win the midterms, the Democrats are going to terminate the filibuster. So first things first, we got to get rid of Cash Patel and go from there.
Yeah.
This dude dropping the ball left and right. I didn't mean to talk so much.
No, you're fine. You're fine. Thank you for calling in. I appreciate it. And yeah, it's so frustrating because I don't know what more to say. We all believed in him. We were hopeful that this was going to be the change needed. I don't think that's the case, but I think that the family, obviously President Trump and his family, I mean, Cash Patel was on with Don Jr. yesterday taking his victory lap and stuff. I mean, Don Jr. did ask him a fair question though yesterday. He said, you know, now you guys have made this arrest, but like, was the Blaze story anything to do with it? And he denied it, of course, but, they seem to be believing that the president believes when it came to Thomas Crooks, what was told, what he was informed on. And so it looks like they like the job so far. I don't know. But, you know, we'll keep our ear to it. Alex, thank you for calling in. I appreciate it. Folks, it just became official, so I want to make sure I brought you this breaking news. RFK's CDC panel has just gotten rid of the hepatitis B vaccine shot recommendation. That vote was just finalized. It's the advisory panel on vaccines. As many of you guys know, they were expecting to have that vote today. So it appears that it is officially finalized. That was 8-3 to drop that policy. So I wanted to make sure we gave you that little MAHA update, of course. That is good news. Good news if you want to see the next generation of Americans not have to take these fatal and obviously injury-prone jabs. So let's turn to another caller. Let's pull up Sean in California. Sean, welcome to the show.
Hey, Brianna, how you doing this morning?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Hey, something I wanted to talk about with this whole J6 pipe bomber situation is that you'd think a great mystery like that being solved would be a day for both the left and the right to celebrate. But if the left isn't being crickets about it, which seems to be most of what I'm seeing on social media, they're going the other direction saying, oh, well, maybe he qualifies for the pardon that Trump gave everyone else on J6. Or maybe, you know, Trump's going to pardon him or this or that. You know, the left can't accept getting to the bottom of these issues. Whether this guy is or isn't the suspect, I mean, we already got Jake Tapper clouding the waters. And it's really interesting to see that cognitive dissonance. It's like they want to cling to the Civil War and divide narrative more than anything else, rather than just getting to the simple truth and getting unity back in this nation. So I'm of the mindset, Brianna, maybe I'm wrong for thinking this way. We can't really reach out to the left anymore. They're like too far gone, you know?
Yeah.
So the rest of us, the conservatives and libertarians and moderates, we got to figure out a way to essentially neutralize their influence, their reach, because we don't need future J6 pipe bombers. Mm-hmm. Am I off of my estimates, or what do you think? Because that's how I look at it.
Yeah, no, I think you're spot on, Sean. And you know what's so funny, too? I was actually watching that clip you were referring to in your open here in regards to those on the left trying to say, well, maybe this guy applies for the pardons that were given out. I chuckled. I probably should have included it in this show just because it was so stupid. That would have been great. I mean, CNN, I believe it was CNN, was literally trying to equate trespassing to leaving two alleged active pipe bombs outside the RNC and DNC. I mean, that's how off base these people are. They are trying to sit there and advocate for this individual. And now they're telling you, of course, that this individual is someone who believed that the 2020 election was stolen. So yeah, here you go. Here's another great article about it. So again, there's not on our side. I mean, it's the side of like sanity and wanting justice and wanting this country fixed and repaired so that it's fair for everyone. And then it's the side of just stupidity, I guess like a communist globalist takeover and just the absolute destruction of everything that makes this country great. And that's what you exactly see there. So Sean, I think you're spot on there and I appreciate you calling in. Let's see. We've got about 90 seconds left. So I'll turn to Andrew in New Jersey. Andrew, you got 90 seconds.
See, New York and New Jersey were.
Did we lose Andrew? Is Andrew there?
I'm here.
Okay.
I'm with you.
We
were in New York, New Jersey, so we're fast talkers. Just want to say in England they would refer to you as a pretty bird, a pretty American bird. But what he was saying struck a chord, Martinson, that you had. It's reminding me of America, the liberal elites in academia that don't have knowledge of the inner cities. They don't live with minorities, and they're out of touch. And Tommy Robinson said the same. He said that my mates are Muslim, man. It's the working class. That's a bad accent. But he said it's the working class that you're racially diverse because we're mixed together. Like I grew up in a black neighborhood. He grew up with Muslims. So it's the white elites that are out of touch. And also with the grooming gangs, I think with the city of Austin, you should sue because they lied to you, the police, and said it was a flirtation thing. He was stalking, and he comes from the culture where there's grooming gangs. So that great lawyer that you had on, you should have him sue the city or get Rudy Giuliani to consult. Cause
yeah, it'd be Plato.
It was not, they just yeah. blew you off. They didn't want to do their job.
Yeah. It happens to a lot of people, though, Andrew. I mean, and thank you for calling. I appreciate you waiting on hold as well. It happens to a lot of women. When they come forward and they report these crimes against them, they get kind of brushed off and dismissed. They think we're crazy. And yes, all women are crazy, but we all have our boundaries. Sometimes when we come forward and report things like this, it should be taken seriously. And many times it's dismissed. So no surprise there. Andrew, we appreciate you calling as always. Everyone else who called in, we appreciate you as well. Thank you. Unfortunately, we're up against the hard out, so I cannot take more calls, but I appreciate you always calling in as well. Folks, I want to remind you to head on over to the alexjonesstore.com. We only got a couple more hours left in that Badass Jeep 392 giveaway, plus well, $10,000. Now, here's the thing, right? So you're not just going to get that potentially when you enter and you make a purchase, of course. You could also win a Ford Raptor as well with an extra $10,000 in cash. That means potentially you could win 20 grand, two cars, and we're doing this for a little bit longer. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. It's also a BOGO on your favorite supplements as well. So head on over right now. It's time to stock up on all your favorite supplements over at thealexjonesstore.com. All right, Mel Kay's up next. Don't go anywhere.
You are beyond insane if you don't support us, if you don't support this broadcast. I mean, I'm being honest. It's like jumping out of an airplane without a parachute. It's like going into the Sahara Desert without a canteen of water. It's like sticking your wiener, you know, in somebody that's got 14 diseases without a condom. Sorry for the gross thing. The point is, shouldn't do it anyways. Huh? The point is that I need your support. And I'm only going to sell you stuff that works really great. Like I said, I've opened a restaurant to be the best food, best prices, best atmosphere, quality service, because I want you to come in 1,000 times. I want a relationship with you. The products are insane. Ultramethylene Blue, the Shilajit, the Iris Sea Moss, the Bovine Colostrum, not a sexy name, but what it does for your hair, skin, and whole body, everything else is insanely good. We got the biggest sale in the history of the AlexJonesStore.com right now, running until Friday. Black Friday comes early. Buy any supplement. You can buy a supplement that costs $20 and then get a $40 supplement for free. It's not just buy one, get another free of the same thing. We've done that quite a few times. This is buy any supplement, get any other one free. All the new designs, all the new apparel in, the biggest selection of Patriot apparel in the world. Now 670-something designs, ball caps, you name it. 25% off on all that and a bunch of other insane sales. If you're a VIP, you get $40 to spend in the store each month. Special deals, special offers. Anybody, anything should be a VIP. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Cry havoc and let loose the dogs of war. Share the live feeds. Of this operation, you are the InfoWar. So go now to InfoWarStore.com, where we got probably the final shipment of the highest quality fish oil and the highest quality turmeric, Body's Ultimate Turmeric, 95% cumanoid. Those are both 40% off. I want to thank you all for your past support, but you've invested in this operation. It's paid off in global awakening. It's been so incredible. Thank you so much for being at the heart of this operation. So as all of our family members in the InfoWar, all of our team members, all of the emissaries, all the ambassadors of freedom against the globalists, That now at the thick of the battle, as you see it peaking and peaking and peaking, just as I've said, I don't come out here and talk about civil war and their plans for insurrection, their plans for military coups, just to sound scary. And then now, if they're openly calling for it, U.S. senators, members of Congress, CIA, because we're beating them, and it's the last move they've got. We're also going to add a link at InfoWarsStore.com today. You can make straight donations on there so that we get all the money and we can get past the shortfall. So I don't want to spend our valuable time on this.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all joining us, of course. A lot to dive into still. That's why we're going to bring in our heavy hitter, Miss Mel Kay, in just a few moments. But last week, there was that horrific story of the Islamic terror attack that took place in Washington, D.C. An Afghan migrant that was smuggled into this country by the Biden regime under Operation Allies Welcome made his way to Washington, D.C. to shoot two National Guardsmen. Sadly, one of them losing their lives, passing away, and the other one is still fighting for his life at the hospital, but things are looking positive for him. It was a devastating report, but we're learning more and more about the suspect involved in all of this, and apparently this suspect was apparently working with one of a secret unit of Afghans who operated under CIA direction. Zero unit. Now, I have a lot of questions about this zero unit, and so that's why we're going to bring Mel Kay in, because she's writing a book about CIA and so much more, and she's where I turn to, and I've got questions about just that. And so welcome to the show, Mel. It's good to have you on. Of course, you are the host of The Mel Kay Show, as well as the author of Americans Anonymous as well, which is available right now on Amazon, and it is a great read, and I highly recommend you head on over there and grab yourself a copy if you haven't done so already. All right, Mel, what do you make about this? Because when we saw that he was an Afghan migrant, we obviously knew that there was a lot of issues there, but we were told that he was radicalized here on U.S. soil. But then there was the CIA element to all of this, and that he's part of the zero unit as well. So what do you make of this?
Well, this has been going on for decades. Frankly, like you said, I have a book coming out called Infiltration Instead of Invasion, America Betrayed 1944 to 1954. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have to start looking at the origins of the CIA, because I firmly at this point, in all the research I've done and D-class I've read and everything I have compiled, particularly about the Dulles brothers, it appears to me that the CIA, we have been lied to about what they actually do and who they are and who they work for. I believe that both those brothers were Wall Street bankers and lawyers, and they went to Switzerland while we were fighting the war and created with the Reich Bank and the Bank of England and the Bank of International Settlements an international suprastructure to control finance, and basically then hooked up with the international NGOs and all the things, and then the same group of people from the Federal Reserve helped create the UN. All of this stuff happened, and it is my belief at this point that the CIA and probably MI6 are the same, or at least work together, and that what they really are is an international intelligence agency, not looking out for the best interests of the United States of America, but for the very rogue State Department that went off the rails after World War II without us even noticing, and their partners, the CIA, the USAID, which is actually International Development, not Aid, and all the tentacles of that. So what I believe is people need to learn about Operation Gladio. People need to learn about the actual truth about CIA. Most people know about Operation Paperclip and MK Ultra and all that, but the activities have not stopped at all. And what I honestly believe, then you can go into the modern age of technocracy, and you're going to see the CIA's InQtel and DARPA really created the entire global public infrastructure, the internet, the track and trace surveillance, all of it. And this is all decades of criminality on top of criminality. Even this year, I saw the CIA's budget is $100 billion, and yet it's completely black. And this has to stop. I believe every CIA agent that is still alive needs to be brought in and fully investigated at this point, including the three under Barack Obama, Brennan, Gina Haspel, and Mike Pompeo. Because where we are is, I believe that Trump is going back to the Monroe Doctrine, basically protecting the our hemisphere of the world and from what has been created, particularly in South America. So a lot of this, I feel like, is trying to, obscure the fact that Afghanistan, Ukraine, even Israel, but a lot of these places where we were embedded, particularly after the Project for New American Century, became strongholds of a group that makes their money and basically traffics everything around the world that is embedded in our country, in our intelligence community, and in the Five Eyes nations collection of I don't know why we're even in that, but what I do believe is that they're dismantling Trump, and all of these people are dismantling the very strong CIA embeds in South America, and particularly that maritime route. If you don't know, or the audience doesn't know, they should look up the Clinton Global Initiative with Branson called the Island Challenge, the Island Initiative. And what you'll see is not only does that maritime route, which is the biggest maritime trafficking route for not just guns and drugs, but also humans and children, it really seems to pass directly around where they are right now, and all of that. So as far as the CIA, I think the American people need to go back to JFK's warning, and before that, Eisenhower's warning about military-industrial complex and intelligence and banking, and understand that this needs to be addressed immediately and handled. The CIA, this is not new. This has been going on Operation Gladio for decades. They're stay-behind units. Unfortunately, I believe with the open border, they were imported in here by design. And again, we have to remember what is coming out that Patrick Byrne has been working on for years, spent his own money and risked his life dramatically to go down and unpack what has been going on, particularly between Chavez and Maduro and Cuba and all the embeds. But, you know, we can also go back to Barry Seal and Air America, Nicaragua, all of the infiltration, including during Joe Biden's 8 years as Obama's vice president. There was a lot of trading and dealing and wheeling with NGOs and stuff that he was involved in Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, all these places. And this goes back to the post-World War II Dulles Brothers, United Fruit Company. I know this is all kind of new stuff, but the entire situation with the CIA needs to be dealt with and addressed. And I believe Tulsi Gabbard is doing that. I find her, she, you know, we're not seeing much from her, but in the public, mm-hmm. but what she is doing is for the first time, I think, putting her hands in those silos that have been protected, particularly by this, Senate Select Committee by Intelligence and other internal traitors, and pulling out the evidence to compile for the people. But as far as saying this is a CIA operation, no doubt, but it is starting to look like the entire war on terror and possibly the end of the Cold War and the globalist, entire, money laundering scam since the 90s is aligned with the CIA. And that is who has been, basically undermining the United States as if they are protecting us.
Yeah. And Mel, you know, you just actually brought something else back the front of my mind a little bit. You have warned me that we are up right now, very, very short, like I should say, for the renewal of Section 702. As many of you guys remember back in 2024, they did renew it, but that's going to be up because that's up in 2026 of April, so a couple of months away. So they're expected to begin those debates in Congress probably at the beginning of next year, 2026 again, because it's coming up quick. How do you expect that to go, given the fact that we have people like Tulsi Gabbard now over, obviously, as DNI? I mean, she's going to out all of this stuff. Because I remember when we were talking about this in 2024, those Republicans who were offering their voices of concern were saying, oh, well, a lot of the things that are gathered in Section 02 are used for the president's daily briefings. So how do you see this going now that she could probably out a lot of that as bull?
Yeah, it is. Well, first of all, Section 702 should be completely unconstitutional. It totally erases the Fourth Amendment, and it has been weaponized it was already weaponized. A Patriot Act should never have been passed. It's the most unconstitutional, damaging thing that has happened to this country, I think, since the Federal Reserve. But in the meantime, what we need to know about it is that, as I said, I believe on your show a year ago when it was renewed in April of 24, I said, all that's going to happen, because Section 702, warrantless surveillance of anyone that the FBI, which is completely rogue, or CIA or NSA, deems a domestic terrorist or an international terrorist, can be tracked, traced, surveilled, all of their messages, emails, internet, social media, without them knowing at all. Well, I said last time they renewed it, I said, you know what's going to happen? Russiagate 2.0. Well, that's exactly what happened. And a bunch of people that voted for it, including, Cruz and other people, from Tennessee, all the people that just found out from Senate that they were spied on, they voted to extend it. That's how it happened. Warrantless surveillance 702 shouldn't be used on anyone, let alone the people of the United States. And when they realized that it was used on them, they went all up in arms. They got crazy. They kind of wanted to sue. And what are you talking about? 3 million American citizens were warrantless surveilled and spied on over the last 4 years, not to mention Spygate under Barack Obama, which is what I think his biggest reason for covering up Hillary Clinton's crimes is, because the crimes of Spygate, which is Eric Holder, Barack Obama's spying, not just through the IRS and then through the NSA and then through any means necessary and NGO, records. Spygate, there is a still sealed 99-page report from Judge Collier about the spying under Barack Obama. And I want to remind you, in the Oversight Committee report about that, they said that 10,000 agents within the intelligence community had violated and illegally used warrantless surveillance 702 since 2016, likely well before that. But even worse than that, there have been so many illegalities that have not been addressed, particularly about why that warrantless surveillance 702 would ever be renewed, when we know that Russiagate literally could not have happened without it. So what we are talking about, first of all, I also want to point out, there are two people, Warner and Turner, okay? Two people in our government, also Senate Select Committee on Intelligence, and remember all the Gang of Eight and all that? These little groups, Senate Select Committee on Intelligence and the other one in the Congress, they protect the elements in the intelligence community that have turned on the people. Right now, what we have had until hopefully Tulsi Gabbard walked in there and is reorganizing it with the emissaries. Don't forget that Devin Nunes was put on a special team for weaponization that we have not heard from or gotten a report from yet, that I expect to be much bigger than anything we've heard so far. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, I do believe that every American citizen should say that warrantless surveillance 702, because remember, they exempted themselves last time, saying that the Congress and the Senate couldn't be spied on. Well, they were anyway. So the rogue elements in the intelligence community do not care about the rule of law. They care about preserving the intelligence community, the black budgets, the international interference and regime change, and what they're doing here in the color revolution. And that is really the element of that benefits from the warrantless surveillance 702. So we, the people of the United States, need to get on the phone, email, call. People think it doesn't matter, and it does, and say this is unconstitutional, it's unacceptable, and if the Congress and Senate cannot have warrantless surveillance 702 used on them, then no American citizen should, because we should be more protected than even they are. They should be held to a higher standard. And I say this, Brianna, and I'll say this on your show because you have a lot more reach than me. I believe that every senator and congressperson, regardless, should be audited in the DOGE format from January 1st, 2020 to date, because all of them were there, and they knew that there was a cabal of elites running the auto pen presidency, selling out our country every which way, and now they're in the next cover-up phase of that, and it's unacceptable, and we need to know who's been paid and by whom.
Yeah, well, Mel, I mean, you bring up a ton of great points there, especially given the fact that we had senators who just recently, during the confirmation hearing for Pam Bondi, I'm talking about John Cornyn in the state of Texas, go out and have the guts to say that the FISA has never been used against an American citizen, and there was no pushback from our AG. She just sat there, and I guess it's a confirmation hearing, so she's not going to want to push. What was that?
I said, of course there wasn't.
She nodded her head the whole time. It was outrageous.
The scary part is she might not know. I hate to say this, but the genius siloing of the intelligence community, and I'm talking about since, you know, the paperwork was signed for the CIA and NSA to be created, what I am telling you is that this entire fourth branch of the government that should not exist is completely unaccountable to anyone, including the president at this point. And that is what I hope Tulsi Gabbard and the weaponization team are looking at. And I don't know where John Ratcliffe falls on either side, but I do know that Pompeo, Haspel, Panetta, Brennan, all of these CIA heads should be under deep investigation, and I'm talking about for years and years, because that is what we are dealing with, and it appears to me that there are many clandestine CIA operatives like Slotkin and the new Spanberger in Virginia. Nobody that is a CIA operative or is trained in the CIA should ever be elected to office in the United States of America by the people, and yet I think many people are, and we don't know that because they have to keep it secret. I think there should be full transparency on who in our government and media are actually CIA. Mm-hmm. And then from there on, make sure that none of these people can ever hold position again in this country in elected office, because it's just unacceptable and it's a fraud.
Yeah, well, Mel, you said a very key word there, and the media. That was the key word in all of that. I don't think people realize how bad it is, but it truly, truly is. Mel, before you go, though, I want to get your take on the J6 pipe bomber, because obviously we now have a criminal complaint that we could go through. To me, it's not a slam dunk, but I think it's really interesting, right? Because Dan Bongino, the deputy director, is trying to sell us on this criminal complaint right now and tell us that they think that they got the guy. I want to play clip 18 for you, because Sean Hannity, speaking of CIA, Sean Hannity is someone who is out there right now, and he actually asked a really good question to Dan, putting up one of his old posts on social media and asking Dan about who he thought at the time before he went into the FBI was the pipe bomber. Take a listen to clip 18.
You know, I don't know if you remember this. This is before you became the deputy FBI director. You put a post on X right after this happened, and you said there's a massive cover-up because the person that planted those pipe bombs, they don't want you to know who it is, because it's either a connected anti-Trump insider or an inside job. You said that, you know, long before you even thought of as deputy FBI director.
Yeah, that's why I said to you, this investigation's just begun. We are pretty comfortable. We have our guy. I think as the, again, legal process starts to surface and information, facts start to come out, the public's going to be very comfortable with the investigation that was conducted under Director Patel and his leadership. He's been great on this. But I don't want to, you know, listen, I was paid in the past, Sean, for my opinions. That's clear. And one day I'll be back in that space. But that's not what I'm paid for now. I'm paid to be your deputy director, and we base investigations on facts. And, you know, it was interesting. I was looking out in the crowd today at the presser, and I saw a couple of media figures who you and I both know who promoted the other scandal, the collusion hoax. And I thought to myself, you know, the difference between us and them is, you know, we evolve. As information and new inputs come out, we can produce different outputs, because that's what we believe in. We believe in facts and investigations guided by facts.
All right, so I'm going to step in on here because he continues to ramble a bit. But, you know, he's explained that his opinion has kind of changed now that he's in this position. What do you make of all of it? Because that's been kind of disappointing with the two of them.
Well, I'll tell you the scarier thing about all of this is that, once again, not only do we find that, a whole bunch of race baiters have been involved here. So the father was in a lawsuit against the Trump administration. The family, including this kid, are bail bondsmen that have been helping illegals, bail them out during the first Trump administration. And then they sued the Trump administration. And then who shows up but, Ben Crump. The lawyer for all of the families, George Floyd, the McMichael case, all of these cases, he pops in and he turns out that he's been working with this family, which is very disturbing because you know how I feel about Crump and Pam Bondi and the Zimmerman case. And I believe all of this stuff is very disturbing when you look at the idea that they must have known who this was when they were arresting all of the January 6 people and all of that. It looks like the FBI field office in Washington again sat on this, and then Chris Wray again lied to the country, acting like he didn't know who it was and let this go on. But the presence of Crump is something people have to question and pay attention to. The lawsuit that the father was involved in, Crump involved in, and anywhere that is, there is something going on. And I am telling you, I also believe that the Derek Chauvin, the McMichael case, all these cases that Crump was involved in have an element also of intelligence. So let's keep our eyes peeled. I don't know that the grandmother said he's autistic, and then that makes you think of all, you know, all of these shooters that we find out years later the FBI knew about. They knew about the school shooter. They knew about the Orlando shooter. They knew about Nassar. So, look, we have a very rogue situation going on here that's very deep. So let's wait and see it unfold. But I do want people to know that Crump's presence there should set off a alarm bells to who actually set this up. And then it goes to the Fed's direction. Because if this is one of those setups, like the Michigan kidnapping, then it's the same people. And they're still out there, and they're still danger to America, and we have to get to the truth.
Yeah, and I think just looking at this criminal complaint saying that's it, case closed, is not the correct response. Although they say this investigation is active, we're still waiting for more evidence. This wasn't a slam dunk for me. I did reach out to the FBI, and they tell me that there's going to be more information coming out very, very soon. As soon as he makes his first appearance, which kind of tells you how he was put on their radar in the first place, so they could go through his financial records, they could go through all of his other records, his car, and everything that was in the area that they allege, his phone records as well, which pin him to the area at the time they allege. So we'll continue to wait to see more evidence. Mel Kay, thank you for all the incredible work that you do, my friends. You do a great job at the Mel Kay Show. And your book, Americans Anonymous, as well. Oh, we're waiting for your new book. Is it available yet for pre-order, Mel?
It will be very soon. It's called Infiltration Instead of Invasion, America Betrayed 1944 to 1954. If we get to the bottom of what happened then and unravel it, we can save our country a lot faster. And thank you for having me. And next time you talk to the FBI, ask them where Nancy Pelosi's laptop is from January 6th. I think everyone's forgotten that disappeared. So I think that would lead to everything and really make a lot of sense.
Yeah, well, we're adding it to the list of laptops that went MIA, like Seth Rich and others that we're still waiting on. So I'll add it to the list, though, Mel, and I'll follow up with a comment. Guys, give her a follow on X if you haven't done so already. Mel K. Show. That's Mel K. Show. That's where you guys are going to learn more about her book when she does release it. I'm telling you, it's going to be a good one. Thank you for joining us, Mel. We always appreciate your time. Busy, busy lady, but makes time for me, and I greatly appreciate just that. Folks, if you haven't done so already, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. We have a couple more hours left in that contest that we've been telling you about. It is an incredible contest. You could win a badass Jeep 392 plus $10,000 in cash. And that's not it. You also are potentially going to win another Ford Raptor as well, and another additional $10,000 in cash. So in case you're wondering what the heck am I saying, I'm talking about $20,000 in cash plus potentially two vehicles. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. Every dollar you spend, you get 50 times the entries. That's only going to last for another couple of hours. Plus, on top of all of that, we're still doing our BOGO sale. It's buy one, get one free on all supplements. So now is the time to stock up. Again, we only have a couple more hours left in that. So do that right this second. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. Of course, because we only have a limited time on that front. All right, let's get to some other stories that are going on right now. I don't know if you guys saw this, but the Vice President of the United States, J.D. Vance, did, in fact, comment about reports that Elon Musk's, his ex, company itself was going to be fined $140 million by the European Commission. Now, they did all of this because, well, they're telling you, of course, it's due to the blue checkmark issue. They're saying it lacks transparency. But the reality of it is they wanted censorship. I mean, let's be honest here. They're not happy with Musk. Musk is not a censorship kind of guy, and so they're going after him. J.D. Vance saying, I believe the tweet that I saw yesterday saying that he hopes that's not true. The EU should be supporting free speech, not attacking American companies over garbage. So I'm sure that's not going to be the last time we hear about that. That usually means that other things are getting worked up the pipelines, of course. The Trump administration is not going to allow Elon Musk to be fined $140 million for allowing a free speech platform. And again, they're just saying, it's about online transparency. That's never the case. Never the case. All right. Yesterday, like I told you guys, we made several announcements. I made several announcements regarding ICE. This one was also another one that I want to make sure that was on your radar. According to DHS, they have arrested an individual who was just miles away from D.C. and he came in under the Biden regime. Apparently, according to DHS, he had ties to ISIS, ISIS-K specifically. He was also provided weapons to his father, who is a commander militant group in Afghanistan. So this is another individual that was just recently taken in, it looks like. Looks like Joe Biden let in a bunch of, and they keep saying the word unvetted, Afghan aliens. I would say even with the vetting processes, you didn't know who these people were, and you shouldn't let any of them in the first place. But we're learning that lesson, sadly, the hard way. All right, folks. That does it for me on this beautiful Friday morning. Thank you for joining me. You know who's next? Alex Jones is on The Alex Jones Show. So don't go anywhere. More to come.
Please remember, I can't battle the globalists without your word of mouth, your prayer, and your support. We make it easy at thealexjonesstore.com. We have a massive 12 days of Christmas sale going right now. A huge sale going right now. We will be running a series of limited time sales. These sales could end without warning if each product sells out. So make sure you take advantage of it, ladies and gentlemen. Add any supplement, whether it's a $20 one, you name it, any other supplement you want, absolutely free. So you can buy a $25 supplement, get a $45 supplement free. Add any supplement to your cart and get another supplement for free. TheAlexJonesStore.com, TheAlexJonesStore.com, the widest selection of Patriot apparel, you name it. So many other great new products that are in stock as well. TheAlexJonesStore.com. For just the next 5 days, there's a typo on this ad, of course. It's the 12 days of Christmas sale. For the next 5 days, you can buy any supplement, get any other supplement free at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
The bat phone is ringing off the hook. The Joker is at it again.
Quick, Robin. We must analyze this threat. Do you have a location on the Joker, Robin?
Yes, he's at the abandoned warehouse on 5th Street.
I'm sick of that Newsom Joker. He's going down, Robin!
Blast you, bat brain! Must you ruin every rib-tickling riddle I concoct?
He thought he was going to get away with all of that ultra DNA revival!
Christmas with Alex and crew, a cocoa and a coffee brew. All the presents under the tree, everyone happy and full of glee. Frosty, Santa, Rudolph and more, give a gift from the Alex Jones store.
Make a friend happy, smiles ear to ear. It's the most wonderful time of the year.